75 years of bucking by the river. Reading Rodeo celebrates 75 years with four action-packed nights of riding, wrestling, wrangling, and roping. Wednesday night is Native American Night by Reading Rancheria. MD Imaging brings you Family Night Thursday. Friday is tough enough to wear pink with Pendleton Whiskey and Block Beverage. Sierra Pacific closes out with Saturday's Armed Forces Night. Reading Rodeo, May 17th through May 20th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole. Written by David Lindsay Abair and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro arts businesses.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you just gotten a VPN yet? At ExpressVPN right now. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, having a president of the United States who is 80 years old and is looking to run for re-election, he would be 86 when he finishes his second term. That's weird in and of itself. It's even more weird when that person is obviously in a state of cognitive decline. Now, I know a lot of 80-year-olds who are not in a state of cognitive decline, actually. There are a lot of people who are in really good shape at 80. People have spent their lives exercising. People have done brain exercises. People who have really aged well. Joe Biden is not one of these people. Joe Biden is very much not one of these people. So, President Biden yesterday, he was doing some sort of event. It was Bring Your Child to Work Day over at the White House. And so a bunch of people brought a bunch of kids in for Joe Biden to meet. And it went really, really badly because Joe Biden is just not capable any longer. He is a doddering elderly fellow who cannot answer the most basic questions, even from tiny children. So, for example, Joe Biden combines mental incompetence with actual moral incompetence in this particular clip. He is asked by a small child about the location of his grandchildren, and it doesn't go well.
One granddaughter lives in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. One granddaughter lives in New York. One granddaughter lives in Washington. One granddaughter lives in Wilmington, Delaware. And the other grandsons, my grandson lives in California. So I left somebody out, didn't I? Anyway, I did say five. You're right. So let me see. I got one in New York, two in Philadelphia. There's a three. No, three, because I got one granddaughter who is, I don't know.
Oh, Lord. That's not great. What makes it even more not great is that he does it, like, twice. Or he goes through this thing twice. Or he tries to name all of his grandkids. That's, you know, obviously cognitive decline. You know, tremendous fail. And my parents have a bunch of grandkids. And they can name where all the grandkids are. They have four kids and they have a bunch of grandkids. And they can name where all the grandkids are because it's not actually all that difficult. In fact, I can name where all my nieces and nephews are located. It really isn't all that difficult. Of course, I'm 39, and this person is more than twice as old as I am, and he is president of the United States. And again, I am not 25. So that is not a great number. But here's the real moral problem. The real moral problem is he names six grandkids. There is, in fact, a seventh grandkid that he is not supposed to talk about. Why? Because he is squiring around Hunter Biden as though Hunter Biden is still a wonderful, decent human being. Hunter Biden is a garbage bag of a human being. Not only a person who has committed obvious crimes in his past and who may be involved in funneling cash to the rest of the Biden family, but also is the father of a child by an alleged stripper. And that child has never been acknowledged by Joe Biden. There's been actual DNA tests that show that the kid is Hunter Biden's. Hunter still refuses to pay for the kid or acknowledge the kid is his, according to Fox News. President Biden has yet again refused to acknowledge his son Hunter's estranged four-year-old daughter while speaking about his grandchildren as an Arkansas paternity case involving the ordeal heats up. On Thursday, Biden spoke to the staffer's kids on Take Our Kids to Work Day, saying he speaks to his six grandchildren daily and is crazy about them. But Biden ignored his seventh grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts, who Hunter had with ex-stripper London Roberts, a trend that has continued for some time. Biden has repeatedly acted as if the kid doesn't exist. December 2022 marked the second Christmas season in a row that the White House left Hunter's out-of-wedlock daughter out of a Christmas stocking display. Before that, in 2020, Biden said he and his wife, Jill Biden, had five grandchildren, forgetting about a newborn Hunter had just had with his wife, Melissa Cohen, and the stumble later forced a correction from the First Lady, who said they have six, again, leaving out Navy Joan. Not wonderful stuff. Not wonderful stuff. I mean, at some point, you would expect that the President of the United States might at least note that he has this grandkid. I mean, he is the President of the United States, so not a wonderful thing. But again, back to the sort of mental incompetence. This is not the only evidence of mental incompetence from the President of the United States yesterday, being grilled by the tiny kids. So the tiny kids ask him, when was the last time you went out of the country? The answer is Ireland. It was like last week. So you don't have to have an amazing memory to remember when he went over to Ireland, especially if you're the person who went over to Ireland. Here is Joe Biden being flustered and confused by the question.
What was the last country you've traveled to?
The last country I've traveled, I'm thinking what's the last one I was in. I've been to 89, I met with 89 heads of state so far. So I'm trying to think, where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track. You're right, Ireland. That's where it was. How do you know that?
How'd the kid know that? Because you were on the TVs in Ireland. The small child knows. So, you know, this guy, he's losing it, obviously. And not only is he losing it, he also happens to be in charge of our nation's policy. So he says silly things like this. He said yesterday, he says the right to life means the right to have a good life. No, it's a, what? No, because that's a really arbitrary definition. There was the president yesterday.
Endowed by their creator, endowed by God, with certain inalienable rights, meaning rights that they have just because they're born. And those rights are life, to have a good life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The right to have a good life. So there's a reason that this is relevant. The reason is because any press worth its salt would actually be asking this person difficult questions. He's the most powerful person on the face of the earth. And every day they're given the privilege of asking questions to the most powerful person on the face of the earth, and a person who's supposed to be answerable to the demands of 340 million Americans. But they're not doing that. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, this year Israel marks the miraculous milestone of its 75th anniversary. The fact that this much maligned nation has survived in the face of insurmountable odds is absolutely miraculous, inexplicable, coinciding with Israel's historic anniversary is the celebration of 40 years of ministry by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. This benchmark is yet another shining example of God's unfailing faithfulness to his people. Today, thousands of Jews, both in Israel and in war-torn Ukraine, struggle to survive life-threatening situations that include extreme poverty, severe hunger, and violence in the form of conflict, anti-Semitism, and terrorism. These are the most vulnerable people. Among them are tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors and elderly Jews who will not survive without basic necessities like food. At this critical time, a gift of just $40 will help one person in need with an emergency food box and hot meals for 1 week. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $40 gift becomes $80. A $100 gift becomes $200. Go to benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Make a gift of just $40 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Help rush an emergency food box to those in need. Your special gift will double in impact to provide those in need with twice as much nourishment. That's benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. The press, theoretically, should be asking difficult questions of this doddering old fool who happens to be in charge of the most powerful engine of economic growth and military power in the history of humanity. I mean, what a privilege, right? I mean, you actually get to ask questions of a person who's in charge of the most powerful military force on the planet in all of planetary history, and the person who's in charge of the most powerful economy in human history. Instead, what you do is like a bunch of sycophantic servants, you submit your questions in advance to the president's team so that he can call on you and you can pretend to ask the question back to him. So if they were just submitting a bunch of written questions and then you were answering, right, you're just reading it off a list, that'd be one thing. But he's pretending. It's all pretend. It's all a show. That's what was shown the other day when Joe Biden was actually pictured holding a card. On the card is a picture of the reporter, Courtney Subramanian. Okay, and Courtney Superman, there's a picture of her. There's a phonetic spelling of her name. It says question number one. And then you can see the actual question. It says foreign policy / semiconductor manufacturing. How are you squaring your domestic priorities like reshoring semiconductor manufacturing with alliance-based foreign policy? This may turn into a theme about friction around, and then you can't really see the rest of what you're saying. So that's what it says on the card, right? It sums up the question. Here was Supermanian's actual question, right? Here is what she actually asked.
Your top economic priority has been to build up U.S. domestic manufacturing in competition with China. but your rules against expanding chip manufacturing in China is hurting South Korean companies that rely heavily on Beijing. Are you damaging a key ally in the competition with China to help your domestic politics ahead of the election?
Okay, now imagine that he hadn't been fed that question in advance. Hey, imagine that she had just hit him with that right off the top, right? Question number one would have been, are you damaging your alliance with South Korea by reshoring semiconductor manufacturing to the United States in order to avoid Chinese dominance? Now, that's an actual pretty good question, right? There's nothing wrong with the question itself. But when you submit it in advance to Joe Biden so his team can create spin around it, you don't actually get an honest answer. And that's the whole point. The press don't want honest answers. They want a rehearsed answer from the current president of the United States so he doesn't look bad. So now, who are you going to believe? Your own eyes. I just showed you the evidence. The actual picture of the card with the question on it, juxtaposed with the actual reporter's question. The Los Angeles Times is denying submitting questions to the White House, according to Fox News, ahead of Wednesday's press conference. The vice president of communications for the LA Times, Hillary Manning, provided the following statement to Fox News Digital. Quote, our reporter did not submit any questions in advance of the Q&A with President Biden. Courtney Subramanian covers the White House for the LA Times. As such, she's in regular contact with the White House press office seeking information for her reporting. You'd have to ask the White House who prepared the document for the president and why they included that question. The White House has not responded to any sort of actual question about any of that. Caitlin Collins, who's the CNN White House correspondent, she said, quote, it's not uncommon for the White House to prepare these types of briefing materials for the president, but it's the level of specificity that's in the spotlight. As you note, the note card included the name and the photo of the reporter and a possible question. Now, it's worth noting her question was not identical to what was on the note. Yeah, it was. I mean, it really was pretty much identical to what was on the note card. This is not just amazing advance work by Joe Biden's team. Somebody gave him the answers, right? Somebody gave him the cheat sheet. And this has been true throughout his presidency. You've seen him because he's not with it. Spill that over and over in press conferences. He will literally go up there with a list of questioners. And then he will say, Subramanian from the Los Angeles Times. And then if somebody asks a question, be like, well, you're not on my, I don't know, you're not on my list. I'm not sure. The White House is trying to pretend that this is normal. It is not normal in any way, shape, or form. This is why Joe Biden has been absolutely avoiding serious press conferences for years on end at this point. Here's Corinne Jean-Pierre, who also should avoid serious questions because she's really bad at it, trying to pretend this is all normal.
The LA Times said that their reporter did not submit any questions in advance of yesterday's press conference. So to people who saw that pocket card, can you explain how that ended up there and why the president needed something like that?
So just to step back, and I'm actually glad you asked that question. Clearly, I would let the reporter for Los Angeles Times speak for herself. It is entirely normal for a president to be briefed on reporters who will be asking questions at a press conference and issues that we expect they might ask about. It is not surprising that yesterday we would anticipate questions that he did receive, right, on the visit with the South Korean president.
We are just amazing at predicting the exact wording of questions from exact reporters. It's like amazing how we're so good at this, guys. That's the answer. Now, even some members of the media who happen to be slightly more honest are like, yeah, no, that doesn't wash. John Avalon at CNN, for example, he's like, yeah, that doesn't look very good.
Biden at 80 is the oldest president in American history, and if reelected, he'd be 86 by the end of his second term. What do you make of how he addressed it?
It was not very artful. I mean, look, I know that President Biden is frustrated by the constant questions about his age, but they exist for a reason. I mean, you know, ending a second term at age 86 is unprecedented territory. Eisenhower,
even Jim Clyburn said this is a really legitimate question to ask.
It absolutely is. And it doesn't help matters when, you know, you see him getting cheat sheets for, you know, questions and interviews and things like that. He has been a consequential president, but this is a totally legitimate area of concern, and polls bear that out.
And Paul Farhi from the Washington Post says the same thing. He says it's very common for the White House to ask the press pool kind of what's on your mind and get sort of advanced notions of what kinds of questions could be answered. But the specificity is very different. According to Farhi, in their advanced conversations, reporters rarely offer anything as specific as Subramanian's topic. The typical answer is news of the day, which leaves the options for questioning the president open. You don't want to give away your question, said the veteran reporter. It's incredibly bad form to do that. Subramanian has not responded to a request for comment. The LA Times says that Subramanian did not provide the White House officials with a specific or even general question in advance of the news conference. However, on Tuesday, the reporter mentioned to officials semiconductors were one of several topics she might want to cover. And the White House is just pretending they're amazing at this. No, they're lying. They're lying. Okay, the press are acting in cahoots with this administration that is perfectly clear at every step of the way. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First, everybody has been talking about how ChatGPT and AI are going to change the world. Tech companies are all investing heavily in AI for search. But guess what? Those are all the same big tech companies that actually determine your search results, which actually impacts the credibility of the information you receive, how you feel about that information. Well, you know, that's anybody's guess. I use ExpressVPN to add a layer of protection for all my devices so big tech can't manipulate me in the same way. The ExpressVPN app hides my unique IP address on all my devices. This makes it much more difficult for big tech to identify who I am and match my activity back to me. It's really easy to use. Take it from me. I've been using ExpressVPN for years. All I have to do is tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on, and that's it. But ExpressVPN doesn't just protect me from big tech. It also encrypts 100% of my online traffic, protecting me from hackers and prying eyes. The best part? One ExpressVPN subscription covers up to 5 devices at the same time, so my whole family can use it as well. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro right now. You can get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get protected with the VPN rated number 1 by CNET Tech Radar, and most importantly, me, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Already coming up, the President of the United States obviously incapable of answering any questions. He just lies consistently. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including 2 crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout, or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the building we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We have a president who not only is incapable of answering questions, he's actually just a liar. If you were ever exposed to the actual harsh sunlight, the disinfecting sunshine of actual harsh questioning, he would collapse. He's been lying his entire administration, from the debacle in Afghanistan to the economy. He lies on the routine, and everybody pretends that he's honest. Right, Daniel Dale has been put in the witness protection program over at CNN. This is the guy who they used to bring on during the Trump administration to talk about how Donald Trump was the worst liar who had ever lied. He made Pinocchio look like Jesus. Right, that's how bad Donald Trump was. Well, now it's an amazing thing. Now Joe Biden, who is a habitual liar, I mean, he lies about. Is there an element of his past he has not lied about? He literally lied 2 days ago about the hospital where he was born, and he's told lies about every single element of his life up to now. He was a civil rights hero who was jailed. No, he wasn't. He was somebody who was in favor of gay marriage in 1952. No, he wasn't. He's somebody who has served in absolutely spotless, clean public life. No, what? Hunter Biden is the smartest person he knows. I mean, all he does is lie. He lies day in and day out. And it's not just lying about his past, it's lying about the present. He lies that Jim Crow 2.0 is the big threat in Georgia. And then you get record black turnout in Georgia. He lies by saying democracy is under threat because a couple of hundred criminals decided that they were going to attempt violence at the January 6th riot, and hundreds of others were just sort of milling around. And this was a threat to our democracy so grave that he must win a second term. He's a liar when it comes to his policy with regard to China. China is threatening Taiwan. He's like, well, maybe we should just be nice to them. I mean, is there a thing that Joe Biden has not lied about? His dishonesty is part of his entire appeal. Joe Biden's been lying since he first ran for president in 1988 while plagiarizing speeches from Neil Kinnock. He is a liar, a really, really bad liar. You know, I recall that when in 2012, when Paul Ryan was debating him in the vice presidential debate, he just started randomly lying about French presence in Lebanon and American presence. He just started making up stories. It was crazy towns. But nobody calls him on it. He slaps on the Joker grin, the Ray-Bans, and the media just start oohing and aahing. It's an amazing thing. So, you would imagine that maybe somebody should ask him some tough questions once in a while. Nope, the press are in his pocket. Legacy media, Delenda S. The legacy media are gross. They're in the pocket of the Democratic Party. Even pretending that they are a separate organ from the Democratic Party at this point is a lie. They simply work for the Democratic Party. Again, the transformation happened in 2009. When Barack Obama was elected in 2008 and he took office in 2009, the media decided that they were the White House press office. There was no distinction. They were one and the same. It's an amazing thing to watch. And this is why Joe Biden is able to count on the fact that the media will presumably continue to not ask him tough questions about his economic policy, for example. To take the latest battle, that is an example of this, the Republicans passed what is, in fact, an incredibly mild law with regard to cuts. Okay, so they are talking now about the debt ceiling. Kevin McCarthy, who the media portrayed as a complete incompetent boob, he was never going to be able to get a majority together for anything as Speaker of the House. Well, he did. He put together a 217-vote majority. There's sort of four Republicans who will never vote for anything because this is their game. But he got 217 Republicans to vote in favor of this debt ceiling bill. The debt ceiling bill raises the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion or 1 year, whichever comes first. And in return, it asks for discretionary spending to be cut to 2022 levels. Okay, you may remember in 2022, we spent a boatload of money. In 2022 levels, that's not like a major ask. We're not talking about we have to cut discretionary spending back to 2010 levels even. We're talking about like a year ago. Just keep the discretionary spending at 2022 levels and then increase it year on year by 1%. That is what Kevin McCarthy is asking for. So the media are playing this as though Kevin McCarthy is asking for the moon and is attempting to take a broad axe to government spending, which is not even remotely true, all in an attempt to prop up Joe Biden's pathetic economic policy. Well, even some members of the media are being forced to recognize that they didn't expect McCarthy to actually get this thing through. Now that they did get the thing through, they're presumably going to portray the Republicans as the bad guys in all of this. They do have a serious problem on their hands, however, and this is something they're beginning to face up to. In the Senate right now, the Democrats have a problem. They have a 51-vote majority. However, one member of the Senate, Dianne Feinstein, has shingles. The reason I put shingles in air quotes right there is because the reason that she's not in the Senate is because she, like Joe Biden, is mentally incompetent, but way more so. Everyone in the Senate knows this. The senator from California does not have brain function. And John Fetterman has mental problems. Dianne Feinstein is not actually, like, she's not active. She's off the stage. Everyone knows this, including the Democrats, which means she is not available to actually vote, which means it is currently a 50-49 split in the Senate, granting extraordinary power to Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, John Tester. And these are all sort of red state, but blue seat Senate members. All of them are going to have to negotiate now this debt ceiling battle. Already coming up, Democrats think that they have the upper hand when it comes to the debt ceiling debate. They do have one major problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hot Cars
and Cool April Nights
is back April 21st through the 30th.
It's over a week of classic car fun.
This year's lineup of events is bigger and better than ever, with a drive-in, poker walk, show and shines, cornhole tournament, live entertainment, and more.
Saturday, April 29th is the main event, with over 1,000 classic cars on display. Get your tickets today at any local Napa Auto Parts store.
For more information and a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Cool April Nights is in full swing this week, with live entertainment, tons of classic cars, and so much more. Get your discounted pre-sale tickets to the big show at any local Napa Auto Parts stores. There's a big lineup of show and shine starting at 10:30 a.m. today. And tonight, it's the famous Cool April Nights Cruise starting at 6:30 p.m. at Hilltop and Churn Creek Road. For today's schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. Sponsored in part by Reading Tourism and Marketing Group, Cresco Equipment Rentals, and Lithia Chevrolet.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin 530.io.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats think they have the upper hand in the debt ceiling debate, but they actually have a systemic problem on their hands. Republicans have passed it. It includes what are, by any historic measure, extraordinarily mild cuts. The Democratic press is going to play this as though Republicans are standing in the way of increasing the debt ceiling, and therefore the economy is going to fall on its face. The problem is that because Dianne Feinstein has basically brought the number of Democratic senators down to 50 from 51, this means that the Democrats are now going to have to make a deal with Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema or John Chester. And when I say or, I mean all three. Manchin is running in West Virginia, probably against the West Virginia governor. So the West Virginia governor right now is, I believe, Jim Justice. Jim Justice has said, pretty popular over there, he has said that he's going to run for the Senate, or he's implied he's going to run for the Senate. Manchin is looking forward to losing his job unless he actually scores a win off of Joe Biden. Joe Biden just jacked him on the Inflation Reduction Act. Remember, on the Inflation Reduction Act, it was Joe Manchin who signed on the dotted line in return for some special giveaways for coal and natural gas in his home state. And now Joe Biden is not giving any of the subsidies for the coal or the natural gas. And so now Manchin is ticked at him. So theoretically, Joe Biden is going to have to go negotiate with Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, who is now relabeled as an independent and is not running as a Democrat anymore, or John Tester, who is from Montana, a state where he could easily lose his seat if he decides to vote too much to the left. So all three of them could score concessions in conjunction with Republicans from Joe Biden. The good news is the Democrats are set because the press will continue to defend them no matter what. According to Politico, the White House and congressional Democrats are preparing to ramp up attacks on House Republicans over the bill, targeting swing district members for endorsing policies that would strip investments in their home districts and gut funding for popular programs. By the way, some of the things that the Republicans have proposed are like, maybe you need to work in order to receive Medicaid. Like, if you wish to actually get welfare dollars, there have to be work requirements attached. You know who approves of that? Pretty much everybody in the United States. We all believe that if you want to get some government largesse, then you have to actually put your feet on the pavement and start actually going to work. Biden's party insists it's feeling little pressure to deliver on House Speaker McCarthy's biggest ask, a true negotiation over the debt ceiling. Chris Kuhn says if you reward hostage taking, it simply repeats. I don't expect the president to now say, oh my gosh, you passed a bill with two votes that imposes draconian cuts across programs most Americans would never support. Biden is refusing to budge from his demand Congress pass an unconditional increase to the debt ceiling. Hey, well, again, there's some Democrats who want Biden to negotiate. What's hilarious is watching, you know, the obvious pardons at, for example, the Washington Post try to square the circle. So the editorial board over there, even they are saying it's time for Joe Biden to call McCarthy. A lot. They say in an ideal world, House Republicans would do their duty and lift the debt limit without exacting a ransom. Later, they acknowledge it's true President Biden and Congress need to discuss spending. The nation is on a fiscally unsustainable course. But they don't care. They think that Joe Biden is, you know, is in the right and Republicans should not even negotiate over this thing. So, again, Biden is stuck sort of between a rock and a hard place. But no matter what happens, he will have the love of the media to back him up. Presumably, this includes on the economic front, where U.S. economic growth slipped in the first quarter in the midst of still high inflation and rising interest rates. According to The Wall Street Journal, U.S. GDP, a measure of the value of all the goods and services produced in the country, rose at an inflation and seasonally adjusted 1.1% annual rate from January to March. That is a significant slowdown from 2.6% growth in the fourth quarter, according to the Commerce Department. Consumption continues to be high because of the inflation. Businesses, however, are pulling back sharply, drawing down inventories, cutting equipment purchases, reducing housing investment. Many economists are predicting a recession in the second half of the year as the Federal Reserve continues its campaign to cool the economy and lower inflation. Meanwhile, the systemic banking problems that have plagued this economy are not going away. According to the Wall Street Journal's Greg Ip, quote, the biggest question facing the economy lately has been how bad will the banking turmoil be? Though two U.S. banks failed a month ago and a third is still struggling, emergency lending by the Federal Reserve seems to have prevented broader harm. But the question should be, will it spread beyond the banks? That is because the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank a month ago, which touched off this bout of turmoil, was a symptom, not a cause, of broader forces at work in the financial system and the economy. A lot of banks own devalued bonds, just like Silicon Valley Bank. But that's just the tip of a debt iceberg. Since the end of 2009, total debt owed by governments, business, and households has risen 90% to to $68 trillion. That's the total debt owed by governments, business, and households. All outstanding debt is $68 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve. Since early last year, interest rates have risen at their fastest pace since the early 1980s. When the interest rates go up, the value of an existing loan or a bond goes down. Regardless of accounting treatment, the economic reality is bonds and loans are worth a lot less than when they were issued, and somebody is going to have to bear those losses. Banks are the most visible debt holders, but collectively, just as much debt is held by pension and mutual funds, private credit funds, life insurers, business development companies, hedge funds, and other non-banks, or as they're called, shadow banks. For a long-only investor doesn't borrow, such as a pension or mutual fund, the losses have few systemic consequences beyond feeling a little poorer. But for financial intermediaries, it's a lot more complicated because what they earn on their assets has now shrunk a lot relative to what they pay for the funding. So in other words, we are not remotely done with the fiscal crisis that has been caused by the inflation followed on by radical increases in the interest rates that were necessary in order to tamp down the inflation. There's more on this in just one moment. First, if you own a small business, you know the value of your time. Innovation Refunds understands what your time means. No matter how busy you are, they've made it easy to apply for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business, too. There's no upfront charge. They don't get paid until your business gets its refund. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. So don't let the opportunity pass you by, because the payroll tax refund, it's only available for a limited amount of time. If you paid too much money to the federal government over the course of the last few years, meanwhile they were screwing you with inflation and with COVID shutdowns, well, wouldn't now be an amazing time to get back some of that money? Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Again, go to GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough time for a lot of businesses. If you can claw back money you shouldn't have paid to the federal government in the first place, why wouldn't you just go do it? Go to GetRefunds.com right now. Again, that's GetRefunds.com right now to get started in less than 8 minutes. See if your business qualifies. So why are members of the media not asking the Biden administration about this? No comment from the White House? They're just going to whistle their way through the dark on this one? Meanwhile, Joe Biden's administration continues to facilitate the worst border crisis in American history. They've had over 6 million encounters between Border Patrol and people crossing the border over the course of Joe Biden's administration. Over 1.3 million gotaways, people who, those are the known gotaways. That does not include the unknown gotaways. A huge percentage of the people who are coming to the border are then shipped into the interior of the United States. They're not receiving appointments at the border for literally years on end, which means by the time they do, they're already well integrated into American society or receiving state welfare dollars or emergency benefits or whatever it is. Well, now the Biden administration is announcing new efforts to limit the flow of unauthorized migrants across the southern border, including the opening of processing centers in the region. The announcement came 2 weeks before the scheduled court-ordered lifting of Title 42. So prepare for a giant wave of illegal immigration when Title 42, which was the rule that allowed our border patrol to simply turn people away at the border saying you might have COVID, when that expires, you're going to see a giant wave at the border. In a joint appearance at the State Department on Thursday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said would-be migrants should not mistake the expiration of Title 42 for a green light to cross the border. So Mayorkas tried to claim that our border is not open, which is going to be heard by precisely no one, since the Biden administration policy has been if you make it across the border, you get to stay, basically.
Our border is not open and will not be open after May 11th.
And yet Mayorkas still, the incompetent Department of Homeland Security Secretary, he still says, guys, we're going to get another surge. Here it comes.
We have been preparing for this transition for more than a year and a half. Notwithstanding those preparations, we do expect that encounters at our southern border will increase.
Now, Mayorkas says that he is going to use Title 8, which allows people to be basically barred for 5 years from the United States if you're caught crossing illegally and potential criminal charges for people trying to enter the country illegally repeatedly. Which sounds very Trumpy, right? Except for the fact that the actual solution posited by the Biden administration on all of this is hemispheric. So Mayorkas says the real problem here is not our border policy. The real problem is not that we don't have enough border patrol agents or that we should be turning people away or remain in Mexico or any of the rest of that. The real problem is in El Salvador. Unless we solve this problem hemispherically, then we're just going to have to absorb the blow.
As the secretary described, this is a hemispheric challenge that demands hemispheric solutions. Working with our neighbors in the region, we can and will reduce the number of migrants who reach our southern border. The regional processing centers announced today will be a critical addition to the programs and processes DHS has in place for qualifying individuals to obtain authorization to enter the United States before arriving at our borders.
So, does anyone actually believe they're going to effectuate this? Why is it that this immigration problem has been allowed to percolate for years on end under Joe Biden? The answer is, again, because all of the members of the press who are hardcore on Donald Trump being a cruel, inhumane person at the border, they have nothing to say about Joe Biden leaving the border pretty much open. It's pretty astonishing stuff. In just one second, we'll get to the Republican frontrunner on the other side, the person who right now, by the polls, is most likely to take on Joe Biden. That, of course, is President Trump. We'll get to that momentarily. First, with Roe versus Wade being overturned, some people think the battle is over. This is not right. Overturning Roe versus Wade was enormous. But let's not forget, day after day, young women who don't think they have options continue to choose abortion. Preborn Network of Clinics has rescued over 200,000 babies. Many women who come to the clinics are being pressured to abort by boyfriends, by parents, by friends. Preborn gives them another option. Preborn seeks those women out before they make that choice and introduces them to the life growing inside them through a free ultrasound. We are the fuel that allows Preborn to offer these young women free ultrasounds. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, we're confident she will choose life. $28, that's what an ultrasound costs. $140 provides 5 ultrasounds. Let's save some lives today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. Abortion has not stopped, so we shouldn't stop. Just dial #250 and say baby. That's #250-BABY to get involved. The quality of these ultrasounds is absolutely astonishing. My wife and I are about to have another child. We knew our baby from the earliest days because of ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben to help provide free ultrasounds to moms who are wondering what to do next. Go to preborn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, who will face down slow Joe Biden? Well, President Trump is currently leading in the polls. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I remind them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Trump is currently leading in the Republican primaries. So Joe Biden is vulnerable, but not from the media. Obviously, they're going to protect him every step of the way, which means that Republicans need an aggressive candidate. There are a couple of options, but obviously the person who is currently front running in the polls is former President Trump. By the available polls, if you look at the national primary, he's up by somewhere between 20 and 30 points. Now, that is a big lead. Now, I'll remind you that if you go all the way back to, like, the 2008 election season, Hillary Clinton also had a very big lead on Barack Obama before all of that fell apart. And we've seen various people who have leading races this early on. But Trump is obviously the guy with the momentum. He's obviously the guy in the lead right now. And that brings us to today's episode of Good Trump, Bad Trump.
Good Trump, bad Trump, which one will we get today?
Okay, so we begin today with, yes, some good Trump. Yay, good Trump. It's always fun when you get a little bit of good Trump. So yesterday, Trump did a rally. The most trafficked part of his rally is where he did his routine imitating a female weightlifter trying to pick up a weight and then a male lifter trying to pick up the weight. It went viral because it was taken out of context to suggest physical actions of a different kind and sort. But the good Trump part of this rally is in Manchester, New Hampshire, is where he mocked Joe Biden for not being able to take questions, which, of course, is a pretty rich vein for attack.
Now you have a whole little time to think about it, but we'll take a few questions, okay? You think Biden takes questions? I don't think so. I don't think so. You saw yesterday he had the cue card. He said, call this one. This is what she's going to ask, and here's the answer. They never did that with me in the White House, I can tell you.
Fact check true. He also said, you know, we are going to settle unfinished business. Now, again, this is going to be the pitch. This sort of medium Trump, right? Again, I think best Trump is my agenda while I was president was way better than Joe Biden's agenda. We were way more successful than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a failure on every front. And that was being hampered by the media and being hampered by the deep state. Put me back in and you will get something better than you have right now. That is the best form of Donald Trump. And I'm standing in the way of the predations that Joe Biden wishes to visit upon you, right? That's his actual campaign. But we're going to settle unfinished business stuff. It's kind of smacks of 2020 election nonsense. And I don't think that is particularly useful. But he sort of halves the baby here in this pitch.
With your vote on November 5th, 2024, we're going to crush Joe Biden and the White House, that gorgeous, beautiful White House. We have to take it back. We're going to beat him at the ballot box, and we're going to settle our unfinished business. It's unfinished.
It's beautiful, magnificent, when they call up the White House. It's unbelievable. He also made the suggestion, again, correct, that the true threat to democracy in the United States is Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, who have been attempting to centralize power in the executive branch, who wish to overrun all state authority. I mean, for God's sake, they have the Department of Justice now attacking the state of Tennessee for trying to ban mutilation of children. Here was Donald Trump.
In it, he says he's running because Trump and MAGA pose a threat to democracy. Can you believe it? Better explain. MAGA is Make America Great Again, right? No threat there. No, it's Biden who poses the threat to democracy because he is grossly incompetent, has no idea what he's doing, and basically he doesn't have a clue, and that's a very bad position to put our country in.
Okay, again, fact check true. Fact check true. By the way, Jim VandeHei of Axios is reporting now that White House officials say it's actually difficult to schedule public or private events with Joe Biden in the morning, in the evening, or on weekends. So what's left? Apparently, the vast majority of Biden's public events happen on weekdays between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. That's when he goes to sleep, and that's when he wakes up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that basically exhausts the good Trump for yesterday in Manchester. Again, he's a very entertaining guy. He's going to continue to be entertaining. But unfortunately, he also does, you know, the bad Trump kind of stuff. Right? Unfortunately, he does some of this. So here's some bad Trump. He has decided that now Hillary Clinton is lovely and beautiful. But why? Because he wants to repurpose crooked Hillary. You call it crooked Hillary. He wants to repurpose it, as we'll see.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton and her moniker. And I'm going to give her a new name. I don't know, like maybe Lovely Hillary or Beautiful Hillary. But I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
His nickname game is off. I got to just say it. Rhonda Sanctimonious is a bad nickname. Crooked Joe is a bad nickname. So, what? I guess he doesn't want to reuse Sleepy Joe because he already exhausted the possibilities on Sleepy Joe. I also love that he's now trying to rehabilitate Hillary Clinton. Like, this is the thing about Trump. It's why people love him. It's also why people hate him. He has no principles at all when it comes to which angle he's going to attack from. As I said, all the way back in 2016, he's the guy you didn't want to fight in high school, not because he was like an amazing fighter, but because you never knew whether he was just carrying like a brick in his backpack. Right? You were just going to be like having a fist fight, and suddenly he reaches in and grabs a brick and hits you with it. He's like a cartoon character, President Trump, when it comes to these fights. He's like a cartoon character who goes into his Mary Poppins bag and he takes out like a stick of dynamite and just hands it to you. You just don't know what's coming. Let's take, for example, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham doesn't know whether he's going or whether he's coming. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who's been a lackey and a sycophant for President Trump for years. I go to a Passover program down here in Florida, and President Trump very often will kind of stop by that Passover program and say hello to people. Well, a couple of years ago, he stops by with Lindsey Graham in tow, and they're going golfing, right, because it's at one of Trump's properties. And Lindsey Graham is in tow. Really funny. And Lindsey Graham, apparently, he comes up to the crowd and he's like working the crowd and he's saying like, you know, guys, we got to stop that Iran deal. We work real hard to stop that Iran deal. And everybody starts clapping and cheering. And Donald Trump muscles in and literally pushes Lindsey Graham aside. And he says, why are you listening to Lindsey? No one cares what Lindsey has to say. It's like, President Trump. So this is the thing about Trump. Again, It's one of the reasons why people have faith that he's going to attack Joe Biden using literally anything at his disposal, because he will. I mean, he's the guy who showed up in 2016 with a bunch of Bill Clinton sexual harassment victims in tow. He is that guy. But it also means that there's no predictability as to what he's actually going to do. No one knows what's coming next. So I don't even know whether to put this in good Trump or bad Trump. It's just kind of like wild Trump. We need like a new category of wild Trump. Here he was attacking Lindsey Graham, who's like his biggest backer as a progressive, and then walking it back and talking about how awesome Lindsey Graham is. I don't know what's happening here. Do you know what's happening here? It's funny, but I don't know what's happening.
So if India charges our companies 100, we charge their companies 100. It's very simple. And yet we have people in Congress that say, no, I don't think that's good. Anybody that says that's no good. Very interesting. Lindsey Graham, the progressive from South Carolina. No, he's a progressive.
Everyone's booing him.
But he's got some good things, too.
But he's okay. Good.
But Lindsey Graham, I said to him, Lindsey, you got to go along with this. We were all set to get it done. You got to go along with this. He said, so let me get this straight. If they charge us, we charge them the same thing. He said it's not his strength. Other things are his strength. He said, so they charge us, we charge them the same thing, right? Yeah. You got my vote. That's so easy.
And the question for who you want to run against Joe Biden is going to be this. We did this already, right? In 2020, Donald Trump did. He like threw everything to think of at Joe Biden, including the Hunter stuff, and it didn't really seem to stick to Joe Biden, mainly because there was no sense of solidity about Donald Trump as president. This is really the problem for Trump in 2020. It became a referendum on Trump, not on Biden. If you would like it to be a referendum on Joe Biden, what you need is a sense of solidity, a sense of stability. That's what the American people keep saying over and over in every single election, basically since 2016. Since 2016, every election has been, can we get back to like some sense of normalcy here? Like just like where I don't have to think about what's going on at the top level every day. That's what people thought they were electing when they elected actual inanimate object, warmed over corpse, room temperature level corpse, Joe Biden. And they thought, hey, if we elect this moldering body, nothing will happen. And then Joe Biden turned out to be, he stripped off his suit. He's like, and he goes, said, hello, I'm Bunley, and I'm here. Like, whoa, where did that come from? And so now everybody's looking for stability and solidity. Joe Biden does not look solid. He does not look stable. He does not even look as though he is capable of answering questions in non-benighted fashion. I mean, he does not look mentally stable or physically, by the way. He might, as I've said before, watching Joe Biden walk up a flight of stairs, like watching the Walendas cross a volcano on a tightrope. You don't know exactly what's going to come next. So all Republicans have to do is provide somebody who has the capacity to attack, but also seems somewhat stable. So that's going to be the question. Is freewheeling, like, I understand it's very satisfying to watch the cartoon attack, the kind of like out of nowhere, let me pull out, like, he's going into his bag. Is he pulling out a rubber hammer or is it going to be a chainsaw? No one knows. And I understand. I'm entertained by it too. It's funny. Is it going to be successful is the question, because there's no substitute for victory. Joe Biden has the entire media on his side, the entire media on his side, the legacy media. They will not ask him tough questions. Who's going to make him answer the tough questions? That's the real, that's going to be the question of the 2024 campaign. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Federal Reserve faults executives at Silicon Valley Bank and itself in the bank's failure. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The Fed says Silicon Valley Bank failed due to a combination of extremely poor bank management, weakened regulations, and lax government supervision. The report says the Fed did not appreciate the seriousness of critical deficiencies in the bank's liquidity and interest rate risk management. The result is that SVB remained well-rated, even as conditions deteriorated. The Fed is also critical of how the bank managed executive compensation. It indicates executive compensation was geared towards short-term profits and the stock price. There were no incentives tied to risk management. Mike Hempen, Washington.
Lawmakers may have a bit more time to come to an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. A new report released by Goldman Sachs and Oxford Economics says the Treasury should be able to continue to pay the nation's bills until the end of July without an increase. Foreign companies are under growing pressure in China as that government tightens control. Correspondent Jennifer King has more.
China's anti-corruption and security investigations are clashing with the ruling party's effort to lure foreign investment back after the end of antivirus control measures. Bain & Company, the global management consulting firm, says police in China questioned staff in their Shanghai office but gave no details of what they were looking for. The Minsk Group, which conducts background checks and investigations for international clients, says its Beijing office was raided last month by police who detained five employees. The government also announced a security review of chipmaker Micron Inc., a leading supplier to Chinese factories. Business groups say global companies are beginning to shift investment plans to India, South Korea, and other nations in Southeast Asia. I'm Jennifer King.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
A seventh grader in suburban Detroit is being hailed as a hero.
A seventh grader in Michigan, quite a hero, Dylan Reeves grabbed the steering wheel on his school bus and hit the brakes after the driver passed out. School officials call it an extraordinary act of courage. Meanwhile, a New York railroad conductor has grabbed a three-year-old boy who wandered onto the tracks. Engineer William Kennedy was the first to see the toddler and sent an emergency message. A northbound train proceeded slowly until the crew could spot the child. That's when conductor Marcus Higgins jumped off the train, ran like crazy, and grabbed the boy. Jason Walker reporting.
There won't be any more arguing with line judges over calls at tennis tournaments on the ATP Men's Tours of 2025. ATP says it will use electronic line calling live, known as ELC Live, for all outcalls and all matches. News and analysis at townhall.com. The climate and energy provisions contained in President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act will cost three times more than original estimates, according to a new analysis.
The Penn Wharton budget model, an initiative of the University of Pennsylvania, this week updated its
estimate for the cost of the law's Green New Deal provisions from about $385 billion to more than $1 trillion over a 10-year period, citing newer implementation details, among other things. Supporters of the bill claimed it would spur trillions in private sector investment soon after the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act was passed in an effort to address climate change, security, and energy. The Penn Wharton Initiative determined that the law would fail to address inflation in the near term. Edwin Mora, Capitol Hill.
President Biden is commuting the sentences of 31 drug offenders. Those receiving the commuted sentences are all currently on home confinement. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you just gotten a VPN yet? At ExpressVPN right now. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, having a president of the United States who is 80 years old and is looking to run for re-election, he would be 86 when he finishes his second term. That's weird in and of itself. It's even more weird when that person is obviously in a state of cognitive decline. Now, I know a lot of 80-year-olds who are not in a state of cognitive decline, actually. There are a lot of people who are in really good shape at 80. People have spent their lives exercising. People have done brain exercises. People who have really aged well. Joe Biden is not one of these people. Joe Biden is very much not one of these people. So, President Biden yesterday, he was doing some sort of event. It was Bring Your Child to Work Day over at the White House. And so a bunch of people brought a bunch of kids in for Joe Biden to meet. And it went really, really badly because Joe Biden is just not capable any longer. He is a doddering elderly fellow who cannot answer the most basic questions even from tiny children. So, for example, Joe Biden combines mental incompetence with actual moral incompetence in this particular clip. He is asked by a small child about the location of his grandchildren, and it doesn't go well.
One granddaughter lives in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. One granddaughter lives in New York. One granddaughter lives in Washington. One granddaughter lives in Wilmington, Delaware. And the other grandson, my grandson lives in California. I left somebody out, didn't I? Anyway, I did say five. You're right. So let me see. I got one in New York, two in Philadelphia. There's a three. No, three, because I got one granddaughter who is, I don't know.
Oh, Lord. That's not great. What makes it even more not great is that he does it, like, twice, or he goes through this thing twice, or he tries to name all of his grandkids. That's, you know, obviously cognitive decline, you know, tremendous fail. My parents have a bunch of grandkids, and they can name where all the grandkids are. They have four kids, and they have a bunch of grandkids, and they can name where all the grandkids are because it's not actually all that difficult. In fact, I can name where all my nieces and nephews are located. It really isn't all that difficult. Of course, I'm 39, and this person is more than twice as old as I am, and he is president of the United States. And again, I am not 25. So that is not a great number. But here's the real moral problem. The real moral problem is he names six grandkids. There is, in fact, a seventh grandkid that he is not supposed to talk about. Why? Because he is squiring around Hunter Biden as though Hunter Biden is still a wonderful, decent human being. Hunter Biden is a garbage bag of a human being. Not only a person who has committed obvious crimes in his past and who may be involved in funneling cash to the rest of the Biden family, but also is the father of a child by an alleged stripper. And that child has never been acknowledged by Joe Biden. Hunter, there's been actual DNA tests that show that the kid is Hunter Biden's. Hunter still refuses to pay for the kid or acknowledge the kid is his, according to Fox News. President Biden has yet again refused to acknowledge his son Hunter's estranged 4-year-old daughter while speaking about his grandchildren as an Arkansas paternity case involving the ordeal heats up. On Thursday, Biden spoke to the staffer's kids on Take Our Kids to Work Day, saying he speaks to his 6 grandchildren daily and is crazy about them. But Biden ignored his 7th grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts, who Hunter had with ex-stripper London Roberts, a trend that has continued for some time. Biden has repeatedly acted as if the kid doesn't exist. December 2022 marked the 2nd Christmas season in a row that the White House left Hunter's out-of-wedlock daughter out of a Christmas stocking display. Before that, in 2020, Biden said he and his wife, Jill Biden, had 5 grandchildren, forgetting about a newborn Hunter had just had with his wife, Melissa Cohen, and the stumble later forced a correction from the First Lady, who said they have 6, again, leaving out Navy Joan. I mean, not wonderful stuff. Not wonderful stuff. I mean, at some point, you would expect that the President of the United States might at least note that he has this grandkid. I mean, he is the President of the United States, so not a wonderful thing. But again, back to the sort of mental incompetence. This is not the only evidence of mental incompetence from the President of the United States yesterday, being grilled by the tiny kids. So the tiny kids ask him, when was the last time you went out of the country? The answer is Ireland. It was like last week. So you don't have to have an amazing memory to remember when he went over to Ireland, especially if you're the person who went over to Ireland. Here is Joe Biden being flustered and confused by the question.
What was the last country you traveled to?
The last country I've traveled, I'm drinking once for the last one I was in. I've been to 89, I met with 89 heads of state so far. So I'm trying to think, where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track. You're right, Ireland. That's where it was. How'd you know that?
How'd the kid know that? Because you were on the TVs in Ireland. The small child knows. So, you know, this guy, he's losing it, obviously. And not only is he losing it, he also happens to be in charge of our nation's policy. So he says silly things like this. He said yesterday, he says the right to life means the right to have a good life. No, because that's a really arbitrary definition. Here was the president yesterday.
Endowed by their creator, endowed by God, with certain inalienable rights, meaning rights that they have just because they're born. And those rights are life, to have a good life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The right to have a good life. So there's a reason that this is relevant. The reason is because any press worth its salt would actually be asking this person difficult questions. He's the most powerful person on the face of the earth. And every day they're given the privilege of asking questions to the most powerful person on the face of the earth, and a person who's supposed to be answerable to the demands of 340 million Americans. But they're not doing that. We'll get some more on this in just a moment. First, this year Israel marks the miraculous milestone of its 75th anniversary. The fact that this much maligned nation has survived in the face of insurmountable odds is absolutely miraculous, inexplicable, coinciding with Israel's historic anniversary is the celebration of 40 years of ministry by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. This benchmark is yet another shining example of God's unfailing faithfulness to his people. Today, thousands of Jews, both in Israel and in war-torn Ukraine, struggle to survive life-threatening situations that include extreme poverty, severe hunger, and violence in the form of conflict, anti-Semitism, and terrorism. These are the most vulnerable people. Among them are tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors and elderly Jews who will not survive without basic necessities like food. At this critical time, a gift of just $40 will help one person in need with an emergency food box and hot meals for 1 week. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $40 gift becomes $80. A $100 gift becomes $200. Go to benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Make a gift of just $40 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Help rush an emergency food box to those in need. Your special gift will double in impact to provide those in need with twice as much nourishment. That's benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. The press, theoretically, should be asking difficult questions of this doddering old fool who happens to be in charge of the most powerful engine of economic growth and military power in the history of humanity. I mean, what a privilege, right? I mean, you actually get to ask questions of a person who's in charge of the most powerful military force on the planet in all of planetary history, and the person who's in charge of the most powerful economy in human history. Instead, what you do is like a bunch of sycophantic servants, you submit your questions in advance to the president's team so that he can call on you and you can pretend to ask the question back to him. So if they were just submitting a bunch of written questions and then you were answering, right, you're just reading it off a list, that'd be one thing. But he's pretending. It's all pretend. It's all a show. That's what was shown the other day when Joe Biden was actually pictured holding a card On the card is a picture of the reporter, Courtney Subramanian. Okay? And Courtney Subramanian, there's a picture of her. There's a phonetic spelling of her name. It says question number one. And then you can see the actual question. It says foreign policy / semiconductor manufacturing. How are you squaring your domestic priorities, like reshoring semiconductor manufacturing, with alliance-based foreign policy? This may turn into a theme about friction around, and then you can't really see the rest of what you say. So that's what it says on the card, right? It sums up the question. Here was Subramanian's actual question, right? Here is what she actually asked.
Your top economic priority has been to build up U.S. domestic manufacturing in competition with China. But your rules against expanding chip manufacturing in China is hurting South Korean companies that rely heavily on Beijing. Are you damaging a key ally in the competition with China to help your domestic politics ahead of the election?
Okay, now imagine that he hadn't been fed that question in advance. Hey, imagine that she had just hit him with that right off the top, right? Question number one would have been, are you damaging your alliance with South Korea by reshoring semiconductor manufacturing to the United States in order to avoid Chinese dominance? And that's an actual pretty good question, right? There's nothing wrong with the question itself. But when you submit it in advance to Joe Biden so his team can create spin around it, you don't actually get an honest answer. And that's the whole point. The press don't want honest answers. They want a rehearsed answer from the current president of the United States so he doesn't look bad. So now, who are you going to believe? Your own eyes. I just showed you the evidence. The actual picture of the card with the question on it, juxtaposed with the actual reporter's question. The Los Angeles Times is denying submitting questions to the White House, according to Fox News, ahead of Wednesday's press conference. The vice president of communications for the LA Times, Hillary Manning, provided the following statement to Fox News Digital. Quote, our reporter did not submit any questions in advance of the Q&A with President Biden. Courtney Subramanian covers the White House for the LA Times. As such, she's in regular contact with the White House press office seeking information for her reporting. You'd have to ask the White House who prepared the document for the president and why they included that question. The White House has not responded to any sort of actual question about any of that. Caitlin Collins, who's the CNN White House correspondent, she said, quote, it's not uncommon for the White House to prepare these types of briefing materials for the president, but it's the level of specificity that's in the spotlight. As you note, the note card included the name and the photo of the reporter and a possible question. Now, it's worth noting her question was not identical to what was on the note. Yeah, it was. I mean, it really was pretty much identical to what was on the note card. This is not just amazing advance work by Joe Biden's team. Somebody gave him the answers, right? Somebody gave him the cheat sheet. And this has been true throughout his presidency. You've seen him because he's not with it. Spill that over and over in press conferences. He will literally go up there with a list of questioners. And then he will say, Subramanian from the Los Angeles Times. And then if somebody asks a question, be like, well, you're not on my, I don't know, you're not on my list. I'm not sure. The White House is trying to pretend that this is normal. It is not normal in any way, shape, or form. This is why Joe Biden has been absolutely avoiding serious press conferences for years on end at this point. Here's Corinne Jean-Pierre, who also should avoid serious questions because she's really bad at it, trying to pretend this is all normal.
The LA Times said that their reporter did not submit any questions in advance of yesterday's press conference. So to people who saw that pocket card, can you explain how that ended up there and why the president needed something like that?
So just to step back, and I'm actually glad you asked that question. Clearly, I would let the reporter for Los Angeles Times speak for herself. It is entirely normal for a president to be briefed on reporters who will be asking questions at a press conference and issues that we expect they might ask about. It is not surprising that yesterday we would anticipate questions that he did receive, right, on the visit with the South Korean president.
We are just amazing in predicting the exact wording of questions from exact reporters. It's like amazing how we're so good at this, guys. That's the answer. Now, even some members of the media who happen to be slightly more honest are like, yeah, no, that doesn't wash. John Avalon at CNN, for example, he's like, yeah, that doesn't look very good.
Biden at 80 is the oldest president in American history, and if reelected, he'd be 86 by the end of his second term. What do you make of how he addressed it?
It was not very artful. I mean, look, I know that President Biden is frustrated by the constant questions about his age, but they exist for a reason. I mean, you know, ending a second term at age 86 is unprecedented territory. Eisenhower,
even Jim Clyburn said this is a really legitimate question to ask.
It absolutely is. And it doesn't help matters when, you know, you see him getting cheat sheets for, you know, questions and interviews and things like that. He has been a consequential president, but this is a totally legitimate area of concern, and polls bear that out.
And Paul Farhi from the Washington Post says the same thing. He says it's very common for the White House to ask the press pool kind of what's on your mind and get sort of advanced notions of what kinds of questions could be answered, but the specificity is very different. According to Farhid, in their advanced conversations, reporters rarely offer anything as specific as Subramanian's topic. The typical answer is news of the day, which leaves the options for questioning the president open. You don't want to give away your question, said the veteran reporter. It's incredibly bad form to do that. Subramanian has not responded to a request for comment. The LA Times says that Subramanian did not provide the White House officials with a specific or even general question in advance of the news conference. However, on Tuesday, the reporter mentioned to officials semiconductors were one of several topics she might want to cover. And the White House is just pretending they're amazing at this. No, they're lying. Okay, the press are acting in cahoots with this administration that is perfectly clear at every step of the way. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, everybody has been talking about how ChatGPT and AI are going to change the world. Tech companies are all investing heavily in AI for search. But guess what? Those are all the same big tech companies that actually determine your search results, which actually impacts the credibility of the information you receive, how you feel about that information. Well, you know, that's anybody's guess. I use ExpressVPN to add a layer of protection for all my devices so big tech can't manipulate me in the same way. The ExpressVPN app hides my unique IP address on all my devices. This makes it much more difficult for big tech to identify who I am and match my activity back to me. It's really easy to use. Take it from me. I've been using ExpressVPN for years. All I have to do is tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on, and that's it. But ExpressVPN doesn't just protect me from big tech. It also encrypts 100% of my online traffic, protecting me from hackers and prying eyes. The best part? One ExpressVPN subscription covers up to 5 devices at the same time, so my whole family can use it as well. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro right now. You can get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get protected with the VPN rated number 1 by CNET Tech Radar, and most importantly, me, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Already coming up, the President of the United States obviously incapable of answering any questions. He just lies consistently. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We have a president who not only is incapable of answering questions, he's actually just a liar. If you were ever exposed to the actual harsh sunlight, the disinfecting sunshine of actual harsh questioning, he would collapse. He's been lying his entire administration, from the debacle in Afghanistan to the economy. He lies on the routine, and everybody pretends that he's honest. Right, Daniel Dale has been put in the witness protection program over at CNN. This is the guy who they used to bring on during the Trump administration to talk about how Donald Trump was the worst liar who had ever lied. He made Pinocchio look like Jesus. Right, that's how bad Donald Trump was. Well, now it's an amazing thing. Now Joe Biden, who is a habitual liar, I mean, he lies about. Is there an element of his past he has not lied about? He literally lied 2 days ago about the hospital where he was born, and he's told lies about every single element of his life up to now. He was a civil rights hero who was jailed. No, he wasn't. He was somebody who was in favor of gay marriage in 1952. No, he wasn't. He's somebody who has served in absolutely spotless, clean public life. No, what? Hunter Biden is the smartest person he knows. I mean, all he does is lie. He lies day in and day out. And it's not just lying about his past, it's lying about the present. He lies that Jim Crow 2.0 is the big threat in Georgia. And then you get record black turnout in Georgia. He lies by saying democracy is under threat because a couple of hundred criminals decided that they were going to attempt violence at the January 6th riot, and hundreds of others were just sort of milling around. And this was a threat to our democracy so grave that he must win a second term. He's a liar when it comes to his policy with regard to China. China is threatening Taiwan. He's like, well, maybe we should just be nice to them. I mean, is there a thing that Joe Biden has not lied about? His dishonesty is part of his entire appeal. Joe Biden's been lying since he first ran for president in 1988. While plagiarizing speeches from Neil Kinnock. He is a liar, a really, really bad liar. You know, I recall that when in 2012, when Paul Ryan was debating him in the vice presidential debate, he just started randomly lying about French presence in Lebanon and American presence. And he just started making up stories. It was crazy towns. But nobody calls him on it. He slaps on the Joker grin, the Ray-Bans, and the media just start oohing and aahing. It's an amazing thing. So, you would imagine that maybe somebody should ask him some tough questions once in a while. Nope, the press are in his pocket. Legacy media, Delenda S. The legacy media are gross. They're in the pocket of the Democratic Party. Even pretending that they are a separate organ from the Democratic Party at this point is a lie. They simply work for the Democratic Party. Again, the transformation happened in 2009. When Barack Obama was elected in 2008 and he took office in 2009, the media decided that they were the White House press office. There was no distinction. They were one and the same. It's an amazing thing to watch. And this is why Joe Biden is able to count on the fact that the media will presumably continue to not ask him tough questions about his economic policy, for example. To take the latest battle that is an example of this, the Republicans passed what is, in fact, an incredibly mild law with regard to cuts. Okay, so they're talking now about the debt ceiling. Kevin McCarthy, who the media portrayed as a complete incompetent boob. He was never going to be able to get a majority together for anything as Speaker of the House. Well, he did. He put together a 217-vote majority. There's sort of four Republicans who will never vote for anything because this is their game. But he got 217 Republicans to vote in favor of this debt ceiling bill. The debt ceiling bill raises the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion or 1 year, whichever comes first. And in return, it asks for discretionary spending to be cut to 2022 levels. Okay? You may remember in 2022, we spent eight. Boatload of money. In 2022 levels, that's not like a major ask. We're not talking about we have to cut discretionary spending back to 2010 levels even. We're talking about like a year ago. Just keep the discretionary spending at 2022 levels and then increase it year on year by 1%. That is what Kevin McCarthy is asking for. So the media are playing this as though Kevin McCarthy is asking for the moon and is attempting to take a broad axe to government spending, which is not even remotely true, all in an attempt to prop up Joe Biden's pathetic economic policy. Well, even some members of the media are being forced to recognize that they didn't expect McCarthy to actually get this thing through. Now that they did get the thing through, they're presumably going to portray the Republicans as the bad guys in all of this. They do have a serious problem on their hands, however, and this is something they're beginning to face up to. In the Senate right now, the Democrats have a problem. They have a 51-vote majority. However, one member of the Senate, Dianne Feinstein, has shingles. The reason I put shingles in air quotes right there is because the reason that she's not in the Senate is because she, like Joe Biden, is mentally incompetent, but way more so. Everyone in the Senate knows this. The senator from California does not have brain function. I mean, John Fetterman has mental problems. Dianne Feinstein is not actually, like, she's not active. She's off the stage. Everyone knows this, including the Democrats, which means she is not available to actually vote, which means it is currently a 50-49 split in the Senate. granting extraordinary power to Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, John Tester. And these are all sort of red state, but blue seat Senate members. All of them are going to have to negotiate now this debt ceiling battle. Already coming up, Democrats think that they have the upper hand when it comes to the debt ceiling debate. They do have one major problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole. Written by David Lindsay Abair and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro arts businesses.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, You'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats think they have the upper hand in the debt ceiling debate, but they actually have a systemic problem on their hands. Republicans have passed it. It includes what are, by any historic measure, extraordinarily mild cuts. The Democratic press is going to play this as though Republicans are standing in the way of increasing the debt ceiling, and therefore the economy is going to fall on its face. The problem is that because Dianne Feinstein has basically brought the number of Democratic senators down to 50 from 51, this means that the Democrats are now going to have to make a deal with Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema or John Chester. And when I say, I mean all three. Manchin is running in West Virginia, probably against the West Virginia governor. So the West Virginia governor right now is, I believe, Jim Justice. Jim Justice has said, pretty popular over there, he has said that he's going to run for the Senate, or he's implied he's going to run for the Senate. Manchin is looking forward to losing his job unless he actually scores a win off of Joe Biden. Joe Biden just jacked him on the Inflation Reduction Act. Remember, on the Inflation Reduction Act, it was Joe Manchin who signed on the dotted line in return for some special giveaways for coal and natural gas in his home state. And now Joe Biden is not giving any of those subsidies for the coal or the natural gas. And so now Manchin is ticked at him. So theoretically, Joe Biden is going to have to go negotiate with Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, who is now relabeled as an independent and is not running as a Democrat anymore, or John Tester, who is from Montana, a state where he could easily lose his seat if he decides to vote too much to the left. So all three of them could score concessions in conjunction with Republicans from Joe Biden. The good news is the Democrats are set because the press will continue to defend them no matter what. According to Politico, the White House and congressional Democrats are preparing to ramp up attacks on House Republicans over the bill, targeting swing district members for endorsing policies that would strip investments in their home districts and gut funding for popular programs. By the way, some of the things that the Republicans have proposed are like, maybe you need to work in order to receive Medicaid. Like, if you wish to actually get welfare dollars, there have to be work requirements attached. You know who approves of that? Pretty much everybody in the United States. We all believe that if you want to get some government largesse, then you have to actually put your feet on the pavement and start actually going to work. Biden's party insists it's feeling little pressure to deliver on House Speaker McCarthy's biggest ask, a true negotiation over the debt ceiling. Chris Kuhn says if you reward hostage taking, it simply repeats. I don't expect the president to now say, oh my gosh, you passed a bill with two votes that imposes draconian cuts across programs most Americans would never support. Biden is refusing to budge from his demand Congress pass an unconditional increase to the debt ceiling. Hey, well, again, there's some Democrats who want Biden to negotiate. What's hilarious is watching, you know, the obvious pardons at, for example, the Washington Post try to square the circles. The editorial board over there, even they are saying it's time for Joe Biden to call McCarthy. A lot. They say, in an ideal world, House Republicans would do their duty and lift the debt limit without exacting a ransom. Later, they acknowledge, it's true President Biden and Congress need to discuss spending. The nation is on a fiscally unsustainable course. But they don't care. They think that Joe Biden is, you know, is in the right and Republicans should not even negotiate over this thing. So, again, Biden is stuck sort of between a rock and a hard place. But no matter what happens, he will have the love of the media to back him up. Presumably, this includes on the economic front, where U.S. economic growth slipped in the first quarter in the midst of still high inflation and rising interest rates. According to The Wall Street Journal, U.S. GDP, a measure of the value of all the goods and services produced in the country, rose at an inflation and seasonally adjusted 1.1% annual rate from January to March. That is a significant slowdown from 2.6% growth in the fourth quarter, according to the Commerce Department. Consumption continues to be high because of the inflation. Businesses, however, are pulling back sharply, drawing down inventories, cutting equipment purchases, reducing housing investment. Many economists are predicting a recession in the second half of the year as the Federal Reserve continues its campaign to cool the economy and lower inflation. Meanwhile, the systemic banking problems that have plagued this economy are not going away. According to the Wall Street Journal's Greg Ip, quote, the biggest question facing the economy lately has been how bad will the banking turmoil be? Though two U.S. banks failed a month ago and a third is still struggling, emergency lending by the Federal Reserve seems to have prevented broader harm. But the question should be, will it spread beyond the banks? That is because the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank a month ago, which touched off this bout of turmoil, was a symptom, not a cause, of broader forces at work in the financial system and the economy. A lot of banks own devalued bonds, just like Silicon Valley Bank. But that's just the tip of a debt iceberg. Since the end of 2009, total debt owed by governments, business, and households has risen 90% to $68 trillion. That's the total debt owed by governments, business, and households. All outstanding debt is $68 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve. Since early last year, interest rates have risen at their fastest pace since the early 1980s. When the interest rates go up, the value of an existing loan or a bond goes down. Regardless of accounting treatment, the economic reality is bonds and loans are worth a lot less than when they were issued, and somebody is going to have to bear those losses. Banks are the most visible debt holders, but collectively, just as much debt is held by pension and mutual funds, private credit funds, life insurers, business development companies, hedge funds, and other non-banks, or as they're called, shadow banks. For a long-only investor doesn't borrow, such as a pension or mutual fund, the losses have few systemic consequences beyond feeling a little poorer, but for financial intermediaries, it's a lot more complicated because what they earn on their assets has now shrunk a lot relative to what they pay for the funding. So in other words, we are not remotely done with the fiscal crisis that has been caused by the inflation followed on by radical increases in the interest rates that were necessary in order to tamp down the inflation. There's more on this in just one moment. First, if you own a small business, you know the value of your time. Innovation Refunds understands what your time means. No matter how busy you are, they've made it easy to apply for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business too. There's no upfront charge. They don't get paid until your business gets its refund. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. So don't let the opportunity pass you by, because the payroll tax refund, it's only available for a limited amount of time. If you paid too much money to the federal government over the course of the last few years, meanwhile they were screwing you with inflation and with COVID shutdowns, well, wouldn't now be an amazing time to get back some of that money? Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Again, go to GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough time for a lot of businesses. If you can claw back money you shouldn't have paid to the federal government in the first place, why wouldn't you just go do it? Go to GetRefunds.com right now. Again, that's GetRefunds.com right now to get started in less than 8 minutes. See if your business qualifies. So why are members of the media not asking the Biden administration about this? No comment from the White House? They're just going to whistle their way through the dark on this one? Meanwhile, and Joe Biden's administration continues to facilitate the worst border crisis in American history. They've had over 6 million encounters between Border Patrol and people crossing the border over the course of Joe Biden's administration. Over 1.3 million gotaways, people who, those are the known gotaways. That does not include the unknown gotaways. A huge percentage of the people who are coming to the border are then shipped into the interior of the United States and are not receiving appointments at the border for literally years on end, which means by the time they do, they're already well integrated into American society or receiving state welfare dollars or emergency benefits or whatever it is. Well, now the Biden administration is announcing new efforts to limit the flow of unauthorized migrants across the southern border, including the opening of processing centers in the region. The announcement came 2 weeks before the scheduled court-ordered lifting of Title 42. So prepare for a giant wave of illegal immigration when Title 42, which was the rule that allowed our Border Patrol to simply turn people away at the border saying you might have COVID, when that expires, you're going to see a giant wave at the border. In a joint appearance at the State Department on Thursday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said would-be migrants should not mistake the expiration of Title 42 for a green light to cross the border. So Mayorkas tried to claim that our border is not open, which is going to be heard by precisely no one, since the Biden administration policy has been, if you make it across the border, you get to stay, basically.
Our border is not open and will not be open after May 11th.
And yet Mayorkas still, the incompetent Department of Homeland Security Secretary, he still says, guys, we're going to get another surge. Here it comes.
We have been preparing for this transition for more than a year and a half. Notwithstanding those preparations, we do expect that encounters at our southern border will increase.
Now, Mayorkas says that he is going to use Title 8, which allows people to be basically barred for 5 years from the United States if you're caught crossing illegally, and potential criminal charges for people trying to enter the country illegally repeatedly. Which sounds very Trumpy, right? Except for the fact that the actual solution posited by the Biden administration on all of this is hemispheric. So Mayorkas says the real problem here is not our border policy. The real problem is not that we don't have enough border patrol agents or that we should be turning people away or remain in Mexico or any of the rest of that. The real problem is in El Salvador. Unless we solve this problem hemispherically, then we're just going to have to absorb the blow.
As the secretary described, this is a hemispheric challenge that demands hemispheric solutions. Working with our neighbors in the region, we can and will reduce the number of migrants who reach our southern border. The regional processing centers announced today will be a critical addition to the programs and processes DHS has in place for qualifying individuals to obtain authorization to enter the United States before arriving at our borders.
So, does anyone actually believe they're going to effectuate this? Why is it that this immigration problem has been allowed to percolate for years on end under Joe Biden? The answer is, again, because all of the members of the press who are hardcore on Donald Trump being a cruel, inhumane person at the border, they have nothing to say about Joe Biden leaving the border pretty much open. It's pretty astonishing stuff. In just one second, we'll get to the Republican frontrunner on the other side, the person who right now by the polls is most likely to take on Joe Biden. That, of course, is President Trump. We'll get to that momentarily. First, with the Roe versus Wade being overturned, some people think the battle is over. This is not right. Overturning Roe versus Wade was enormous. But let's not forget, day after day, young women who don't think they have options continue to choose abortion. Preborn Network of Clinics has rescued over 200,000 babies. Many women who come to the clinics are being pressured to abort by boyfriends, by parents, by friends. Preborn gives them another option. Preborn seeks those women out before they make that choice and introduces them to the life growing inside them through a free ultrasound. We are the fuel that allows Preborn to offer these young women free ultrasounds. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, we're confident she will choose life. $28, that's what an ultrasound costs. $140 provides 5 ultrasounds. Let's save some lives today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. Abortion has not stopped, so we shouldn't stop. Just dial #250 and say baby. That's #250-BABY to get involved. The quality of these ultrasounds is absolutely astonishing. My wife and I are about to have another child. We knew our baby from the earliest days because of ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben to help provide free ultrasounds to moms who are wondering what to do next. Go to preborn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, who will face down slow Joe Biden? Well, President Trump is currently leading in the polls. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Virginia.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Trump is currently leading in the Republican primaries. So Joe Biden is vulnerable, but not from the media. Obviously, they're going to protect him every step of the way, which means that Republicans need an aggressive candidate. There are a couple of options, but obviously the person who is currently front running in the polls is former President Trump. By the available polls, if you look at the national primary, he's up by somewhere between 20 and 30 points. Now, that is a big lead. Now, I'll remind you that if you go all the way back to like the 2008 election season, Hillary Clinton also had a very big lead on Barack Obama before all of that fell apart. And we've seen various people who have leading races this early on, but Trump is obviously the guy with the momentum. He's obviously the guy in the lead right now. And that brings us to today's episode of Good Trump, Bad Trump.
Good Trump, bad Trump, which one will begin today?
Okay, so we begin today with, yes, some good Trump. Yay, good Trump. It's always fun when you get a little bit of good Trump. So yesterday, Trump did a rally. The most traffic part of his rally is where he did his routine imitating a female weightlifter trying to pick up a weight and then a male lifter trying to pick up the weight. It went viral because it was taken out of context to suggest physical actions of a different kind and so on. But the good Trump part of this rally is in Manchester, New Hampshire, is where he mocked Joe Biden for not being able to take questions, which, of course, is a pretty rich vein for attack.
Now you have a whole little time to think about it, but we'll take a few questions, okay? You think Biden takes questions? I don't think so. I don't think so. You saw yesterday he had the cue card. He said, call this one. This is what she's going to ask, and here's the answer. They never did that with me in the White House, I can tell you.
Fact check true. He also said, you know, we are going to settle unfinished business. Now, again, this is going to be the pitch. This sort of medium Trump, right? Again, I think best Trump is my agenda while I was president was way better than Joe Biden's agenda. We were way more successful than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a failure on every front. And that was being hampered by the media and being hampered by the deep state. Put me back in and you will get something better than you have right now. That is the best form of Donald Trump. And I'm standing in the way of the predations that Joe Biden wishes to visit upon you, right? That's his actual campaign. But we're going to settle unfinished business stuff. It's kind of smacks of 2020 election nonsense. And I don't think that is particularly useful, but he sort of halves the baby here in this pitch.
With your vote on November 5th, 2024, we're going to crush Joe Biden and the White House, that gorgeous, beautiful White House. We have to take it back. We're going to beat him at the ballot box, and we're going to settle our unfinished business. It's unfinished.
It's beautiful, magnificent. They call it the White House. It's amazing. He also made the suggestion, again, correct, that the true threat to democracy in the United States is Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, who have been attempting to centralize power in the executive branch, who wish to overrun all state authority. I mean, for God's sake, they have the Department of Justice now attacking the state of Tennessee for trying to ban mutilation of children. Here was Donald Trump.
In it, he says he's running because Trump and MAGA pose a threat to democracy. Can you believe it? Better explain. MAGA is Make America Great Again, right? No threat there. No, it's Biden who poses the threat to democracy because he is grossly incompetent, has no idea what he's doing, and basically he doesn't have a clue, and that's a very bad position to put our country in.
Okay, again, fact check true. By the way, Jim Vandehay of Axios is reporting now that White House officials say it's actually difficult to schedule public or private events with Joe Biden in the morning, in the evening, or on weekends. So what's left? Apparently, the vast majority of Biden's public events happen on weekdays between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. That's when he goes to sleep, and that's when he wakes up. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that basically exhausts the good Trump for yesterday in Manchester. Again, he's a very entertaining guy. He's going to continue to be entertaining. But unfortunately, he also does, you know, the bad Trump kind of stuff. Right? Unfortunately, he does some of this. So here's some bad Trump. He has decided that now Hillary Clinton is lovely and beautiful. But why? Because he wants to repurpose Crooked Hillary. You call it Crooked Hillary. He wants to repurpose it, as we'll see.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton and her moniker. And I'm going to give her a new name. I don't know, like maybe Lovely Hillary or Beautiful Hillary. But I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
His nickname game is off. I gotta just say it. Ron DeSanctimonious is a bad nickname. Crooked Joe is a bad nickname. So, what? I guess he doesn't want to reuse Sleepy Joe because he already exhausted the possibilities on Sleepy Joe. I also love that he's now trying to rehabilitate Hillary Clinton. Like, this is the thing about Trump. It's why people love him. It's also why people hate him. He has no principles at all when it comes to which angle he's going to attack from. As I said, all the way back in 2016, he's the guy you didn't want to fight in high school, not because he was like an amazing fighter, but because you never knew whether he was just carrying like a brick in his backpack. Right? You were just going to be like having a fist fight, and suddenly he reaches in, grabs a brick, and hits you with it. He's like a cartoon character, President Trump, when it comes to these fights. He's like a cartoon character who goes into his Mary Poppins bag and he takes out like a stick of dynamite and just hands it to you. You just don't know what's coming. Let's take, for example, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham doesn't know whether he's going or whether he's coming. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who's been a lackey and a sycophant for President Trump for years. I go to a Passover program down here in Florida, and President Trump very often will kind of stop by that Passover program and say hello to people. Well, a couple of years ago, he stopped by with Lindsey Graham in tow, and they're going golfing, because right, it's at one of Trump's properties. And Lindsey Graham is in tow. This is really funny. And Lindsey Graham, apparently, he comes up to the crowd, and he's, like, working the crowd, and he's saying, like, you know, guys, we've got to stop that Iran deal. We work real hard to stop that Iran deal. And everybody starts clapping and cheering. And Donald Trump muscles in and literally pushes Lindsey Graham aside. And he says, why are you listening to Lindsey? No one cares what Lindsey has to say. It's like, President Trump. So this is the thing about Trump. Again, it's one of the reasons why people have faith that he's going to attack Joe Biden using literally anything at his disposal, because he will. I mean, he's the guy who showed up in 2016 with a bunch of Bill Clinton sexual harassment victims in tow. He is that guy. But it also means that there's no predictability as to what he's actually going to do. No one knows what's coming next. So I don't even know whether to put this in good Trump or bad Trump. It's just kind of like wild Trump. We need like a new category of wild Trump. Here he was attacking Lindsey Graham, who's like his biggest backer as a progressive, and then walking it back and talking about how awesome Lindsey Graham is. I don't know what's happening here. Do you know what's happening here? It's funny, but I don't know what's happening.
So if India charges our companies 100, we charge their companies 100. It's very simple. And yet we have people in Congress that say, no, I don't think that's good. Anybody that says that's no good. Very interesting. Lindsey Graham, the progressive from South Carolina. No, he's a progressive.
Everyone's booing him.
But he's got some good things too, okay? But Lindsey Graham, I said to him, Lindsey, you got to go along with this. We were all set to get it done. You got to go along with this. He said, so let me get this straight. If they charge us, we charge them the same thing. He said it's not his strength. Other things are his strength. He said, so they charge us, we charge them, same thing, right? Yeah, you got my vote. That's so easy.
And the question for who you want to run against Joe Biden is going to be this. We did this already, right? In 2020, Donald Trump did. He like threw everything to think of at Joe Biden, including the Hunter stuff, and it didn't really seem to stick to Joe Biden, mainly because there was no sense of solidity about Donald Trump as president. This was really the problem for Trump in 2020. It became a referendum on Trump, not on Biden. If you would like it to be a referendum on Joe Biden, what you need is a sense of solidity, a sense of stability. That's what the American people keep saying over and over in every single election, basically since 2016. Since 2016, every election has been, can we get back to like some sense of normalcy here? Like just like where I don't have to think about what's going on at the top level every day. That's what people thought they were electing when they elected actual inanimate object, warmed over corpse, room temperature level corpse, Joe Biden. And they thought, hey, if we elect this moldering body, nothing will happen. And then Joe Biden turned out to be, he stripped off his suit. He's like, and he goes, said, hello, I'm Bunley, and I'm here. They're like, whoa, where did that come from? And so now everybody's looking for stability and solidity. Joe Biden does not look solid. He does not look stable. He does not even look as though he is capable of answering questions in non-benighted fashion. I mean, he does not look mentally stable or physically, by the way. As I've said before, watching Joe Biden walk up a flight of stairs is like watching the Walendas cross a volcano on a tightrope. You don't know exactly what's going to come next. So all Republicans have to do is provide somebody who has the capacity to attack but also seems somewhat stable. So that's going to be the question. Is freewheeling, like, I understand it's very satisfying to watch the cartoon attack, the kind of like out of nowhere, let me pull out, like he's going into his bag. Is he pulling out a rubber hammer or is it going to be a chainsaw? No one knows. I understand. I'm entertained by it too. It's funny. Is it going to be successful is the question, because there is no substitute for victory. Joe Biden has the entire media on his side, the entire media on his side, the legacy media. They will not ask him tough questions. Who's going to make him answer the tough questions? That's the real, that's going to be the question of the 2024 campaign. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Florida legislature passes a bill clearing the way for Ron DeSantis to run for president without first resigning as governor.
The elections bill passed on Friday includes a new amendment that clarifies the state's resign to run law. The change was made after some argued DeSantis must resign before choosing a White House bid in 2024, and the new language specifically clarifies that the resign to run provision does not apply to anybody running for president or vice president. DeSantis is widely viewed as the Republican Party's strongest alternative to Donald Trump, although the former president still enjoys a wide lead in the polls over all comers for the GOP nomination. Bob Agner reporting.
Congressional investigators say airlines themselves are responsible for a rising percentage of canceled flights, more often than before the pandemic, when bad weather was the most common problem. The Government Accountability Office says most of the increase in flight cancellations during the travel recovery has been due to things airlines can control. Much of the valley at California's Yosemite National Park is temporarily closed due to a forecast of flooding. This is rising temperatures melt the Sierra Nevada's massive snowpack. Park officials say the eastern section of Yosemite Valley will stay shut at least until May 3rd. Other sections, including western Yosemite Valley, will remain open. Rona Salisbury is head of the Yosemite Visitors Bureau.
Our local mom-and-pop businesses have suffered, you know, a lot through all of this. And, you know, we just see this sunshine coming out. We're all excited again. And darn it, now there's too much water. But, you know, I think we're resilient. The communities are very resilient.
Audio courtesy KFSN. After a somewhat mild winter in the U.S., scientists watching to see if there's an uptick in ticks this year. In Connecticut, they say they are already seeing more ticks this year than usual. More at townhall.com.
Be thank pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Form is the heavyweight champion of the world.
Now, experience the movie based on the miraculous story of George Foreman.
George Foreman ain't no new champ. He is the new chump.
I'm not going to box anymore. I'm going to follow God.
It's the greatest comeback story of all time.
There's only two things I know how to do. Box and preach and won't pay the bills.
Foreman's 45 years old. The risk isn't losing. It's surviving.
How can you beat that man?
I'm going to do this my way.
Big George Foreman, now playing exclusively in movie theaters. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13.
Federal judge in Virginia rules that an antitrust case against Google can go forward.
Federal Judge Leonie Brinkema greenlighted the government lawsuit alleging Google wields monopolistic power in the world of online advertising. Google had earlier tried to get the case consolidated with a similar lawsuit that's been ongoing for several years in New York. But Judge Brinkema ruled last month that the case can proceed in the Alexandria courthouse, which is known as the Rocket Docket for its reputation of adjudicating disputes swiftly. The lawsuit alleges that Google corrupted legitimate competition in the ad tech industry by seizing control of a wide swath of high-tech tools used by publishers, advertisers, and brokers. I'm Norman Hall.
Some Medicaid recipients say confusion's causing them to be kicked off the health coverage program. The feds will require states to remove people whose incomes are too high. Millions are expected to lose their insurance. News and analysis, townhall.com. While most U.S. airlines lost money in the first quarter, they are all eagerly looking ahead to a summer of full planes and high fares.
American Airlines and Southwest Airlines say they expect to be solidly profitable in the second quarter. They joined Delta Airlines and United Airlines in giving an upbeat outlook for the April through June period, which includes the start of the peak travel season. Southwest lost $159 million in the first quarter. American eked out a $10 million profit.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A new study names Dallas-based Southwest the worst airline in the country. The Wallet Hub study looked at cancellations, mishandled baggage, and affordability. The list comes after the Southwest fiasco last December, where more than 16,000 flights were canceled. Delta was named the best airline, while Fort Worth-based American came in at ninth place. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the groomers have flocked to Louisiana to speak out against a bill to prohibit the sexualization of children in public school. At the same time, and on a very much related note, a new report says that 25% of current high school students identify as LGBT. It's all part of the plan. Also, the Netherlands legalizes euthanasia, or post-birth abortion, really, for toddlers. And Whoopi Goldberg claims that the Bible endorses sex change surgeries for children. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. The national backlash against the grooming and sexualization of children in school took far too long to materialize, but better late than never when it comes to something like this. And now, as we've seen, states across the country, the sane ones anyway, started to pass laws legally protecting kids from this kind of abuse. The latest to wade into these waters is Louisiana, where a couple of pieces of legislation were just advanced out of the state's House Education Committee and are now headed to the floor of the House. So they certainly have a while to go before they are made into law, but they're on the way. The Daily Signal has the details on this. It says new Louisiana legislation would ban public school teachers and personnel from discussing sexual orientation and gender identity with students from kindergarten through the end of high school. That's not all. Republican Louisiana State Representative Dodie Horton's HB 466 would also prevent teachers from discussing their own sexual orientation or gender identity with students, or using pronouns for a student that differ from the pronouns that reflect the sex indicated on the student's birth certificate. If the parents provide written permission, school employees could use pronouns for a student that differ from the pronouns on their birth certificate. So take note of that last part, right? The bill still allows kids to be identified by preferred pronouns, quote unquote, merely stipulating that the parents have to be involved in that decision. This is a major concession the Republicans in that state have made, and one that never should have been made. Schools should not be lying to kids about their identity or participating in the lie, even if the parents want them to. Whether the parents want it or don't want it, the school shouldn't do it. Also, there's no point in a compromise of this sort. The left will shriek in horror anyway. They will be sent into convulsions of demonic rage, vomiting and crawling up the walls like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, no matter what. Anything less than a full capitulation, anything short of fully sacrificing our children on the LGBT altar with no conditions, a full sacrifice, anything less than that will be considered a genocidal act of homophobia and transphobia. So you might as well just draw a hard line, right? You might as well, you know, deal understand that this is good and evil, black and white, and that there's no gray area here. Because anything less, again, than full capitulation, this is how they're going to react. Case in point, here was the reaction when the Education Committee voted to advance the pronouns bill. Listen to the crowd in the background.
As amended favorably to the House floor by a 7-5 vote. Is it?
Please.
time committee.
Do I have a, is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you.
Now, to be clear again, they are wailing in horror like the souls of the damned in hell because of a bill that simply prohibits teachers from secretly referring to children by preferred pronouns. The law only makes it illegal for schools to hide a child's gender transition, and that's what they're screaming about. Of course, before the legislation advanced through the committee, there was a whole parade of circus freaks who showed up to voice their disapproval. Here's an apparent reject from the Blue Man Group, a they-them drag queen, testifying against HB 466, which prevents teachers from discussing gender identity and sexual orientation with children. Here he is. Listen.
Thank you all for letting me speak. I believe we are all here for the same reason, which is to make schools a safe place for students and for faculty to thrive. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to share this space with you. But like I said, I am Maxwell. I am trans. I am big gay baby. My pronouns are they, them. What are yours? I'm here to ask you to vote no on HB 466. Speaking before you today is a 27-year-old drag artist that lives every day to secure kindness, validation, love, and acceptance for the wounded child that still feels closeted inside me. For the inner child that remembers feeling alone and alien in school.
Well, America, it's up to you to decide. Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of parents who don't want their kids to be sexualized in school? Or are you on the side of a grown adult in blue face paint who refers to himself as Big Gay Baby? Which way will it be, Western man? Which path will lead us to flourishing and prosperity? But it wasn't just the drag queens who came out to defend grooming. We know that the drag queen community, these are the nation's loudest and most prominent advocates for child abuse, but they're not alone, certainly. Teachers also came to testify. Here's one woman describing a recent conversation she had with her students. Listen.
Mrs. T, which is what they called me. Mrs. T, are you a boy or are you a girl? Should I really have shut that conversation down? Should I have shut it down so that the students, the five students that after that conversation came out to me, didn't know that it was okay? Should I have been punished for having that conversation? Those are not my kids. Those are your kids. And they knew that they could come to me for that acceptance and that love.
Yes, exactly. You're damn right. Those are not your kids, Mrs. T. But to answer your question, Mrs. T, no, you don't need to shut down any conversation where students ask if you're a boy or a girl. You don't need to shut down that conversation. No one is saying that you need to shut down that conversation. The legislation that you're tearfully protesting wouldn't require you to shut down that conversation. When you're asked that kind of question by the young kids in your class, you can simply say, I'm a girl. Very easy. It's not difficult. Now, if you, despite being female, assuming that you are female, that's what it appears, if you, despite being female, self-identify as male or as some nonsense like non-binary, then you should not be able to talk to the kids about that. Right? You should be able to tell them your biological identity. Yes, I'm a girl. If you identify as something else, you should not be able to tell them that. Why is that? Well, because your actual biological identity as female is a fact of nature. It's a reality. Facts and reality are the kinds of things we want to teach to our kids in school. That's why schools exist. Okay? They exist to teach kids facts about the world. They don't teach they don't exist as a forum for you to express yourself individually and talk to kids about your own self-expression and self-perception. That's not why the students are sent to school. Your self-identity as something apart from your biological sex is not a fact. It is not a reality. It is ideological. It is fantastical. So therefore, it doesn't belong in the classroom. Separation of church and state. Isn't that what you people always say? Well, your religious belief that the spirit of a man or of a they-them can somehow be mysteriously trapped within the physical frame of a woman or vice versa must be separated from your job as an educator employed by the state. She claims that five students came out to her after they had this conversation. Journalist Greg Price, who posted all these clips from the hearing, and you should follow him on Twitter, by the way, he's got a lot of good stuff. He reports that this woman is a fourth grade teacher. So, five fourth graders came out of the closet to her on the spot, according to her. You might assume that she's making this up, which is usually a safe assumption. These people lie about everything. But the scary thing is that in this case, she's very likely telling the truth. This is actually what's going on in elementary schools. And it's all by design. It's the result that the groomers have engineered. Their LGBT indoctrination campaign has been so effective that now, by their own testimony, young prepubescent children are coming out of the closet en masse in the middle of class. There are many other teachers and LGBT activists speaking out, often howling and screeching like the sounds you might hear if you were lost in the jungle at night. We'll play one other clip. This is a self-identified they-them, or no, I'm sorry, a self-identified he-they, who, so this is a he, but then also a they, who insists that the failure to groom children will lead to suicide. We're used to this claim. We've heard it many times, and here it is again.
I identify as a trans male, and I'm not a Louisiana native. I moved here 5 short years ago. And in that 5 short years, this place has become my home. I love this state. I moved here for the culture and the people. But this bill fosters an unsafe environment for all children. I keep hearing that we're trying to protect children, but instead we're trying to harm them. This bill will, as we've heard from other people on suicide rates, this bill will directly impact children and cause them suicidality. The blood of trans youth will be on your hands.
Oh, really? Is that the case, he, they? Well, so you're saying we need to have preferred pronouns in school and constant conversations about gender identity and sexual orientation, or there will be mass suicides, you say. Okay, then. That's certainly a theory. That's a theory. And like any theory, it makes predictions. This is how you test a theory. A theory is going to make predictions about the world. Where we could say, well, if this theory is correct, then we should be able to observe XYZ out in the world if this theory is correct. And then you can go and see, do I observe that? And if I don't observe it, there's something wrong with the theory. The prediction that this theory makes is that as schools become more open and accepting of preferred pronouns and of gender identities and so on, the suicide rate goes down. And since school and society in general are certainly more open and accepting of these things now than they were 10 years ago or at any other point in history, we should find that the suicide rate has gone down over time as acceptance and openness of these things has gone up. But is that what we find? Well, let's check with Pew. Pew has this report. The share of high school students who experience what is known as suicidality, which includes suicidal thoughts, plans, and attempts, increased from 2011 to 2021, according to new data from the CDC. Separately, the CDC also found that after a brief 2-year decline in 2019 and 2020, the total number of suicide deaths increased in 2021, especially among people of color. Overall, 22% of high school students in the recent survey, 22% said they had seriously considered suicide within the past year, up from 16% in 2011. 18% said that they made a suicide plan, and 10% said they attempted suicide at least once, compared with 13% and 8% respectively 10 years earlier. All demographic groups across race, ethnicity, and sex experienced increases in suicide risk since 2011. That is a very significant 6% increase from 2011. But in 2011, nobody was talking about preferred pronouns. Nobody was talking about that in 2011. There was very little discussion of gender identity or transgenderism. It is simply undeniable that schools especially are far more welcoming and accepting of these kinds of things and these ideas today than they were 13 years ago. And yet suicide has gone up significantly from 13 years ago. Your theory makes a false prediction. Your theory is therefore false. But truth, obviously, is not the point. The point is more this. Here's a report published just yesterday in The Hill. It says, quote, about 1 in 4 high school students identify as LGBTQ, according to other data from the CDC. 1 in 4. This was released on Thursday using data from 2021. In 2021, 75.5% of high school students identify as heterosexual, the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System found. Among high school students, 12.2% identified as bisexual, 5.2% as questioning, 3.9% as other, 3.2% as gay or lesbian, and 1.8% said they didn't understand the question. The CDC says the number of LGBTQ students went from 11% in 2015 to 26% in 2021. 25% of current high school students identify as LGBT. An 11% increase from the high school demographics just 8 years ago. It is a 150% increase over the millennial generation. It's 10 times the number of self-identified LGBT people in the baby boomer generation and 20 times the number in the generation before that. This is the result they're after. It's why they so passionately defend their right to groom and sexualize children. This is all part of the most widespread and systematic brainwashing campaign the world has ever seen. They are not interested in merely, you know, giving LGBT kids, quote unquote, space to express themselves. They are creating the LGBT kids. That's what they're upset about. That's why they show up and they protest these bills, because it's going to interfere with their ability to create another generation, another crop of LGBT kids. The school system has become a factory assembly line where new LGBT members are manufactured. Or perhaps the more accurate illustration is a massive cult commune with hundreds of satellites all over the country where children are systematically indoctrinated and then inducted into the LGBT cult. It's happening right in front of our eyes, right now. And the results will be and have been catastrophic for the country and the human race. In conclusion, get your kids out of the public school system. Just get them the hell out, whatever it takes. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Three bank runs in the last month. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones? Ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Matt as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Next up, an NBA star's response to a reporter went viral yesterday, and for good reason, actually. We'll check it out after this quick break. Stay tuned.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Now we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. I haven't followed the NBA in a long time. You know, I gave up on the NBA when they went full BLM. And that's also when I gave up on LeBron James. People maybe will be surprised by this, but I was actually a big LeBron James fan for a long time. As an athlete, I was a big fan of his. To my shame, I was, up until about 3 years ago, when he really went full BLM. So anyway, I don't watch anymore, but this one moment jumped out at me as it's gone viral. The playoffs have started, I guess, and the Milwaukee Bucks were just eliminated. And their star player, Giannis, with a last name I won't even attempt, was asked about whether the season was a failure because they got eliminated from the playoffs. And this is one of the very rare moments when an athlete in a post-game press conference says something worthwhile and interesting. But here it is. Let's watch.
Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh, my God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay. Do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success. You know, and if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me? No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. Some other people is going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one. You know, sorry that I didn't want to make it personal because you asked me the same question last year, and last year I was in the.
Good. That's good stuff. I like that. It's a dad speech. That is, and that's what I do. It's like my entire show, but that is, I can imagine. I don't know if he's a father or not, but he'll make a very good father. If he's not, because that's like the speeds. It sounded like a father talking to his son, just lost, you know, coming home from Little League, and he's giving the speech to him. And I think it's very good. And also, it's, as I said, rare to hear something eloquent and interesting from an athlete in a post-game press. Usually all they do is mumble cliches. You know, they were out playing with all this energy, and then for some reason they get in front of cameras, they can barely speak, and it's just, yeah, you know, we fought hard out there, and the other team fought hard, and, take my hat off to him, tip my cap, got to tip my cap, just taking my hat off to him, take my hat off to the other guys, really taking my hat off. For some reason, every athlete in every major sport has glommed on to this one cliche about taking their hat off. I'm not really sure. It's funny. It's a funny one, too, because it harkens back to Victorian-era chivalry where men tip their top hats when a lady walks by. And this is what we're supposed to imagine these 7-foot lumbering dudes are doing. But anyway, I think it's an important lesson, and it's really what we were talking about earlier in the week about the rocket explosion for SpaceX, that if you're pursuing a goal and you don't achieve it, but you learn from the failure and you get better and you keep up the pursuit, then it's not a failure. The only true failure is the failure to try at all. And I know that sounds like a cliche too, but, and maybe it is, but it's true. There are people out there who we could unfortunately describe as failures. There are a lot of people out there these days, sadly, who we could say are failures. These are failures of human beings. But we only can label them failures because they didn't try to do anything. They didn't try anything. They didn't pursue anything. They didn't have any goals that they went out and chased. They didn't do that. They didn't do anything because they were afraid and because it takes too much effort, and they took the path of least resistance, and that's a failure. That's a failure of a person. So that's a person who's failing, failing every day to try. But if you're pursuing your goals, even if you don't reach them every single time, not a failure overall. Coming up next, the Dutch government just came out with a horrifying new law. We'll discuss it after this break. Don't go anywhere.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole. Written by David Lindsay Abaire and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro arts businesses.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties, and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. Last week, as you know, on this show, demonetized on YouTube, hacked, everything's falling apart. The left is celebrating my demise. Today, I just got word, my team sent me the screenshot of the Spotify charts, and we have the number one ranked podcast in our category on all of Spotify, number one news and commentary podcast on the website. We're, I think, 17 overall among all podcasts, highest we've ever ranked on the platform. And significantly so, I believe. So thank you for all of that. You know, the SPG, everybody in the audience. I often say that you can't be canceled unless you consent to it, that they can't cancel me unless I go along with it. And that's true, but there's another part of that equation that I should acknowledge, because, and that's the reason, right? The reason why they can't cancel me without my consent. And the reason is you. As long as I have your support, there's nothing these people can really do. Because they can't force you to stop supporting me or anybody else. They can't, they might try. This is part of the game. And that's really what the canceling is all about. At least if you're someone in the public eye with a platform, canceling is all about trying to, it's taking platforms away, but it's also trying to convince the audience, like, well, don't listen to this person. It's a horrible person. And that's what, and that's when the canceling actually works, when they can convince you to stop listening, to go somewhere else, to stop supporting. That's when the canceling actually happens. But they can't force that. They can't force, much as they would like to, they can't force it. So as long as I have that, you know, we're a team and they can't stop it. And the reason why I could be canceled if I went along with the cancellation, the reason why I could be canceled if I apologized and backpedaled, is that I would lose your support, and I should. You know, if I were to sit here and, because I can't take the pressure anymore and, I don't want to be attacked anymore and all the rest of it and, whatever. And I were to sit here and apologize, and pledge to reform my ways so that I'm more in line with what the left wants me to be. If I were to do that, then you guys should abandon me, because I will have betrayed you. I won't be worth listening to anymore. Or following, and that's the case for anyone. Once the apology happens, the apology, you know, cowering before the cancellation mob and apologizing, and we've seen it so many times, and what makes it so tragic is that when the person does that, this is why I've said many times, like, I can't defend you anymore. I want to defend you, but now that you've done that, I can't. Because I'm defending, how am I going to defend you and the things that you say and the positions you take if you won't even do it? And if I were to do the same thing, which would never happen, but if it did, then you'd have no choice but to say, well, that's unfortunate, but we can't listen to that guy anymore. So anyway, I don't want to make this sound like an Oscar speech. I want to thank the fans and God, but anyway, I do want to thank the fans and God. All right. This is from the Daily Wire. Officials in the Netherlands are expanding the availability of life termination for children between 1 and 12 years of age. The European nation will soon permit doctors to euthanize children deemed to have conditions which will lead to hopeless and unbearable suffering, according to an announcement from the Dutch government released earlier this month. Officials claim that the new policy only concerns a small group of terminally ill children whose palliative care options are not sufficient to relieve their suffering and who are expected to die in the foreseeable future. This is a very complex subject that deals with very harrowing situations you wouldn't wish on anyone, Dutch Health Minister Ernst Kuipers said in the announcement, I am pleased that after intensive consultation with all parties involved, we have come to a solution with which we can help these terminally ill children, their parents, and also their practitioners. Help the terminally ill children by killing them, is what he's saying. And killing them against their will. Okay? Now, consent does not make euthanasia okay. That's why I'm 100% absolutely opposed to euthanasia across the board for adults also. But at least, you know, with adults, there is the possibility that they can consent to it. With a one-year-old, obviously no consent. So this is something that you're doing against the child's will, killing a child, and doing it for their own sake. Now, of course, they say that, well, this is only for terminally ill children and unbearable suffering. Death is in the foreseeable future. Even if it was relegated only to the most extreme cases of terminal illness, it would still be unfathomably horrifying. But we also know that it's never relegated to the area that they first claim. It never works that way. As I've said many times, on the left, leftism, progressivism, it is like a cancer. It progresses like cancer. It might start small in this area, but it spreads and it grows, and that always happens. The slippery slope fallacy is not a fallacy. It is an observation of reality, and this is the way that it works. You know, we know in Canada, there was a time in Canada when euthanasia was only an option for terminally ill people. Well, it's not the case anymore. Keeps getting expanded. And you can already see them setting the stage for that now. Death is in the foreseeable future. Well, death is in the foreseeable future for everybody. Okay? We can foresee death for everyone because we're all mortal beings. And when you compare our lifespan to the entire history of the human race and of the earth, you know, our lifespans are like the blink of an eye. So death is in the foreseeable future, even like comparatively the near future for all of us. Unbearable suffering. Well, what is that? Hopeless and unbearable suffering. That's the standard they're putting in place. Well, how do you qualify unbearable? What is unbearable? Especially when we're talking about children. So you're making that determination for them. Hopeless. That's the most subjective standard you could possibly put in place. Hopeless according to you. But that's precisely the point. That if you are an advocate of euthanasia, it's because you don't see any point or hope in life, period. This is nihilism. But there's always hope. I mean, what are we claiming? That it's hopeless, there is no hope so long as death is in the future? Well, then there's no hope for any of us. Then we should all get, you know, we should all take the ticket and head out of town. There's no hope for any of us. And that is where this heads eventually. Like eventually, this is nihilism. This is eugenics. This is the anti-human agenda, the anti-life agenda. And ultimately, that's what they would like to. They'd like to have euthanasia available for everybody of all ages. And it's an option that can be taken casually for no real specific reason. As I said, it's already basically what's happening in Canada. I think there was Futurama had one episode where the vision of the, you know, the future where there was suicide booths that you could just walk in, go to like a telephone booth and commit and, you know, be killed. That's basically where we're headed. Hopeless. Because they say that it's hopeless. Yeah, that's what they say. But it doesn't make it true. There's always hope in life. As long as you have life, there's hope, there's purpose. And even when there's suffering, like, there's always suffering in life. We all suffer. People that have serious illnesses are suffering to a much greater degree. But the fact of suffering does not remove hope. It doesn't mean that there's no point to living anymore. Now, you know, we often assume that, say this is the anti-life agenda, it's also the anti-God agenda, and those two things go hand in hand. You know, you're in favor of euthanasia because you don't believe in God, you don't see any purpose to life, and that's true. Like, that is what this is rooted in. But it doesn't even make sense from that perspective. Like, it's hard for me to imagine, put myself in the mindset of an atheist, but I think that if I was an atheist, I might be even more opposed to euthanasia. Well, I couldn't possibly be more opposed to it. I'm as opposed to it as you could possibly be, but in that case, then what's after life? There's nothing. There's nothingness after life. After this, there's just, you are going into the abyss. This is all you have, really. The idea of giving up on that, and that's also an argument for continuing to live as long as you have it and making use of all the time that you have life, even if there's suffering. So it really, no matter what angle you inspect this from, it's horrifying. But it's also, as I said, to be expected. And in a culture all across the Western world and across the world generally where there's abortion is legalized. This is essentially a version of post-birth abortion, which many conservatives have been warning about that as well. We've been telling you that's where this is headed. Just like we've been saying, much of what's happening with the left's agenda with sexuality and gender, you know, it's headed towards and has now become this open campaign to sexualize children. And we were told for years that that's crazy. It's slippery slope. It's not going to happen. Well, look. And we've also been saying that the pro-abortion agenda will lead eventually to actual post-birth abortion. And why does it lead to that? Well, because the pro-abortion agenda rests on the assumption that human life has no value. There's no real inherent value to it. That the value of human life is contingent on other factors. That other people can decide whether a child's life is worthwhile. That's what the pro-abortion agenda is. And this is a logical extension of that. There's not any logical reason. If abortion is permissible morally and legally up to the moment of birth, there's actually not any moral or logical or legal reason, not any coherent reason anyway, why that should be the cutoff. Why is birth the cutoff? Totally arbitrary. Birth is not the creation of a person. A person doesn't come into being in that moment. It's just the person changes locations, goes from one location to another. That's all that happens. And so if that child's life a second before emerging from the birth canal is fundamentally worthless and hopeless, which anyone who supports abortion, that's what they think, then it remains so after birth and for the entirety of a person's life. And then euthanasia becomes permissible. So this is where it's headed. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Next up, we'll be canceling Whoopi Goldberg, who tried to use the Bible to defend child transitioning. Obviously, this is totally wrong, and I'll explain why next. Stay tuned.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
It's rodeo time. 75 years of bucking by the river. Reading Rodeo celebrates 75 years with 4 action-packed nights of riding, wrestling, wrangling, and roping. Wednesday night is Native American Night by Reading Rancheria. MD Imaging brings you Family Night Thursday. Friday is tough enough to wear pink with Pendleton Whiskey and Block Beverage. Sierra Pacific closes out with Saturday's Armed Forces Night. Reading Rodeo, May 17th through May 20th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. It's always going to be somewhat redundant and maybe a bit cheap to use the howling banshees of The View as fodder for the daily cancellation. That show could be harvested for this segment every day if I wanted to, but then nobody else would ever get a chance to be canceled, and that simply wouldn't be fair. Today, though, I must revoke the usual cancellation pass I give to The View, because this one is too cancellation-worthy to pass up. From The Daily Wire, quote, Whoopi Goldberg suggested on Thursday that the Bible would support parents having the right to subject their minor children to sex reassignment surgeries. Goldberg made the comments during Thursday's broadcast of ABC Midday talk show The View, following a conversation about a trans-identifying Montana lawmaker who faced disciplinary action for breaking the rules of decorum. Representative Zoe Zaffire, which we can guarantee is not his actual name, a biological male who identifies as female, lashed out at Republican colleagues who oppose transgender surgeries for minors. Quote, I hope the next time that there's an invocation when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands. The GOP-controlled House voted to censure Zephyr is the name, barring the lawmaker from appearing in the House, but allowing votes by remote through the end of the current legislative session. Goldberg and co-host Sonny Hostin criticized the move, however, claiming it was proof that Republicans were banning speech. Whoopi then turned to the argument that had gotten Zephyr banned over a bill that would ban transgender surgeries for minors and claimed that if the GOP believed in parental rights, then parents should be able to consent to life-altering and irreversible procedures for their children. Here's what Whoopi had to say. Watch.
Oh my God, this is a party that says we believe in parents' rights. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that as a parent, I'm not smart enough to decide if my child and I need to have gender affirming. Our doctors are not involved. I can't decide what my kid reads. I can't decide for my child what my child says is going on.
Yep.
You're telling me your beliefs, and they keep saying it, and I keep saying, what Bible are you reading?
Yeah.
Because God was really clear.
Very clear.
Yes, Whoopi, you're exactly right. God was really clear. This could not have been more clear. From the book of Genesis, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. At the very beginning of the book, we are given 3 essential facts about the human race. These are the first 3 things that we are told. First, that God made us and determined our sex for us. There's nothing here about choosing our identity for ourselves sometime after we're born. God gives us our identity. Okay, so it wasn't that Adam was created and then God said, Adam, how do you identify? non-binary. That didn't happen. God gives us our identity, and there are two broad identity groups, male and female, a binary system. No other options are mentioned. Finally, third, we're told that males and females are meant to pair up and reproduce. The first commandment, the very first commandment given by God is not the first commandment in the Ten Commandments. The first commandment given by God to human beings, the very first instruction, is to be fruitful and multiply. You brought up the Bible, I'm telling you what it says. And there is, it turns out, nothing in the Bible, not one passage in the Old or New Testament that even hints at the possibility of changing or choosing our sex. There is no mention of anything resembling the modern day notion of gender identity. And that's because the notion of gender identity wouldn't be invented until about 1900 years after the last book in the Bible was written. Doesn't matter how creative you are or how heretical you're willing to be. You cannot proof text your way into a biblical defense of transgenderism and gender transition. It's not possible. And this is the part where if you're a leftist, you drastically switch course, accusing me of being a Bible thumper, imposing my religious worldview on you. I know how the game is played. This is how it's played. You want to pretend that recognition of the binary, the biological nature of sex is somehow religious. You want to believe that our recognition of this reality is rooted in blind faith. And so you bring up the Bible and make erroneous claims about what it says. We correct you. And then you accuse us of trying to use the Bible to prove our point, even though you're the one who brought it up. Every argument from the left, especially on this topic, is a sleight of hand trick. And this one is their favorite trick to pull. Now, what about Whoopi's claim that child mutilation is a matter of parental rights? Needless to say, she doesn't actually care about parental rights and opposes such rights in almost all of the circumstances. Her concern for parental rights is about as genuine as her concern for fidelity to scripture. But she does inadvertently raise an interesting and important point. And you know, I believe in parental rights. I've always been a strong advocate for such rights. But as conservatives, we make a mistake when we root our entire argument on this topic in parental rights. When we do what the Louisiana GOP has done by insisting that children should be referred to as their biological sex unless their parents say it's okay for them to identify something other than their biological sex. That is not the right approach, because the problem with pretending that a boy is a girl isn't just that his parents don't approve. It's that it isn't true. Our position should be rooted in truth. The question of rights is farther downstream. And that's also why, though I believe in parental rights, I don't believe that parents have the right to transition their children. I think you have parental rights, but you don't have the right to do that. No 14-year-old girl should be getting cosmetic double mastectomies, no matter what the girl's parents might say. It's not our position that physical and sexual abuse of a child is wrong unless the parents consent. Our position is that it's wrong, period. And everybody who participates in such evil should go to prison, including and especially the parents. Parental rights, like all rights, are not absolute. We have rights as parents, but we don't have the right to do anything we want as parents. And we can lose our parental rights. They can be revoked if we prove ourselves to be dangerously incompetent, neglectful, or abusive. Therefore, reducing this whole conversation down to parental rights can ultimately end up creating more confusion than clarity, I think. And that's why, you know, I think we might want to start using a different R word. There's another side to the rights coin. And on the other side of it is responsibility. With rights come responsibilities. With responsibilities come rights. You can't have one without the other. Though in our culture, we usually just talk about one and hardly ever the other. We clamor for our rights. We don't like to acknowledge our responsibilities. But that could be clarifying on this issue in particular. Do I have the right to raise my boy as a boy and prevent other adults from trying to groom him into identifying as a girl? Yes, I have that right. Do I have the right to raise my boy as a girl and groom him into that lifestyle myself? No, I don't have that right. I don't have the moral right. I don't have the natural right. I shouldn't have the legal right. So how can I have the right to do the first thing, but not the second? Well, because of responsibility. Okay, because the first thing lines up with my responsibility as a parent, and the second doesn't. So let's just drop the rights talk and go right to that. I have the responsibility to raise my boy. I have the responsibility to raise my boy as a boy, to help him accept himself for who he really is, to guide him towards manhood, and to protect him from anyone who would want to sow confusion or dysfunction into his mind. I have the responsibility to do that. I am called to do that. I am commanded by God and conscience to do that. And because I have that responsibility, I must also have that right. In other words, I have the right as a parent to fulfill my responsibilities as a parent. I have the right to be a good father to my children. I don't have the right to be an abusive and neglectful father. Those are my rights. But more importantly, my responsibilities. And that's how we should be talking about this issue, I think. And it might help alleviate some of this confusion, though I suspect there is no saving Whoopi Goldberg from her confusion, which is why she is today canceled. And that's all we have for today and this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. The mayor of East Palestine, Ohio, the town devastated by a toxic train derailment, has endorsed a presidential candidate.
Mayor Trent Conaway is backing Donald Trump, who the mayor notes took time to visit East Palestine, while President Biden was a no-show, although Mr. Biden did travel to Ukraine. Not only did Mr. Trump visit, he brought much-needed supplies, including pallets of bottled water, as toxins polluted the air and saturated the ground, rendering some people's water undrinkable. Without Mr. Trump, the mayor says, a dire situation could have been even worse. Rich Thomason reporting.
Canada and the United States have agreed to share more information on the smuggling of guns and drugs across their shared border.
The announcement Friday came during the cross-border crime forum, which was attended by top security and judicial officials from Canada and the United States. Canadian Public Safety Minister Marco Mendocino says agreements will allow Canada to go after ghost guns in particular, referring to the untracked privately manufactured firearms used by gangs. The agreements are aimed at helping stem the flow of opioids such as fentanyl, and the officials say it will result in more joint investigations. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
Some Medicaid recipients say mistakes and confusion are causing them to be kicked off their health coverage program. Federal government will require states to remove people whose incomes are too high for the program. Millions are expected to lose insurance. The CDC is going to stop tracking the spread of COVID-19 in U.S. communities, instead focusing on COVID-related hospitalizations. They say due to the number of reported cases falling and the availability of at-home tests increasing, it's difficult to get a realistic view of how much the virus is circulating. They'll end community-level tracking on May 11th when the national public health emergency expires. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dennis Prager here. Sue and I mean it when we say dogs are part of our family, and there's nothing like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, because we want them to feel healthy and be with us as long as possible. I know Charlie Kirk feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. I rely on my trusted furry friend, Mr. Briggs, who's an absolute machine, and he relies on me to provide what's best for him. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens, not a dog food, but a supplement full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and omega oils that Mr. Briggs absolutely needs and loves. Trying Rough Greens for your dog just makes sense.
Greetings, naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black here. I'm honored that the Pragers and Charlie trust their dog's health to Rough Green. I'm so confident that Rough Green can help your dog too that I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, dog food is dead food, but it doesn't have to be. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
Amazon reports stronger than expected revenue and profits for the first quarter.
The Seattle-based company said it pulled in over $127 billion in revenue for the January to March quarter. That's a 9% increase compared to the $116.4 billion it reported during the same period last year. Profits came out to $3.17 billion. The company said its profitable cloud unit AWS grew by 16% during the first quarter, much slower than a year prior.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Tens of thousands of people are gathering in New Mexico for the annual Gathering of Nations that kicked off Friday with a colorful procession of Native American dancers. They'll be showcasing their culture as they compete in dancing, singing, and drumming competitions over the weekend. More than two dozen contestants from the U.S. and Canada are also vying for the title Miss Indian World. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Federal Railroad Administration is warning train companies there are special risks with extra-long trains that need to be addressed. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
Federal regulators stop short of telling railroad companies they should limit the length of their trains, but they do suggest precautions. Freight rail companies are increasingly relying on longer trains to help them move cargo with fewer crews. But the Federal Rail Administration says three recent derailments involved trains that were longer than 12,000 feet and says the size was a factor. Six states are looking at limits for the length of trains, citing not only safety, but also the amount of time drivers and emergency responders are delayed at rail crossings. I'm Jackie Quinn.
New York City is shutting down four parking garages due to structural concerns more than a week after a deadly collapse in Lower Manhattan. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Yesterday about his age as he runs for re-election, President Biden said that it doesn't register with him. Okay. I know you're trying to play it cool, but you made it sound like a symptom. My age? I never remember.
You know, that seems to be the one and only joke that the late night peoples can tell about the President of the United States is every night, again and again. It's the ain't he old joke. Isn't that ageism? Isn't there an ism associated with that? You know it. Well, it's Friday again. Happy Friday to you. And welcome. And that means, you know, more technical difficulties because it's a day of the week. Here at our Washington, D.C. based operation, Joe Biden spoke yesterday. Kamala Harris spoke yesterday. Neither one of them is very bright. Have you noticed that? You probably noticed that already. But they keep feeling the need to prove it again and again. The leadership of the United States of America, we're supposed to be the leaders of the free world and all that stuff. We've got these nutcases, these dimwits, these, boy, oh boy, I'm telling you. You know, as they phase out the incandescent light bulb, so go their brains. I was at a hardware store just the other day, and no more incandescent light bulbs because Democrats, and you got these funny lights make everybody look like an Eastern European cadaver, which may be somewhat redundant, but nevertheless, that's the way that these light bulbs make you look, as a funny color, not a natural light by any stretch of the imagination. So we've got a great deal for you once again, as we do every day, because the Democrats. Joe Biden was asked by a little child yesterday, a little child. There were little. It was take your kid to work day. Hunter wasn't there. I think he was hiding in the third floor of the White House. They might have a rehab facility up there. Either that or just maybe an opium den. Hard to say. You think there are any Russian hookers on the top floor of the White House right now as we speak, Jeff? Jeff Wolf is in today for Michael Piercy. Michael Piercy is off doing personal business. He's got some personal business. And Jeff Wolf is in. And, Jeff, you think that there are Russian prostitutes in the White House? We got Hunter Biden in there. So there's, you think that his father gave him one of those glass pipes that's not a pipe, it's just a tube with a brass screen and a rubber mouthpiece, and what you do with it is then up to you. Remember they said they were sending those out, and they said, well, it's not a crack pipe, it's just a glass tube with a brass screen, you know, like the ones you had in high school, and pretty amazing stuff. But little children, surrounded by little children who were cackling because they're at the White House, and the president was there, and it was bring your kid to work day, and reporters got covering the White House got to bring their kids to work, and I assume that they gave the kids questions to the president ahead of time on a cheat sheet, so he'd know what questions the children were going to ask. You see, the Los Angeles Times continues to deny that they provided the White House the question, so the White House either has a psychic, they've got a psychic in residence, or they've hacked into the Los Angeles Times computer and text systems to find out what the questions will be ahead of time. But, you know, look, you can't trust what the LA Times puts on the front page, and you can't trust them when they put out a statement saying, us give the White House the question ahead of time? Heck no. No, they just divined what the question would be and then came to us first knowing what the question would be by magic, because the government is magic. That's the, and Joe Biden, he's the wizard. He's like Merlin. Amazing stuff. But they got a little kids there. And some are cute little, and the White House staff people, they got to bring their kids to work too. I'm surprised there are so many breeders there. I didn't know that there was a lot of breeding going on in the Biden White House and in the news media too. That's a surprise, I think, for all of us. But a child asked, kind of interestingly, what country did you visit recently? And he'd been to Ireland a couple of weeks ago. Remember when he made a fool of himself again and again, embarrassed our nation and himself over and over again. It's difficult for him to embarrass himself at this point, but he embarrassed our nation and by behaving as he always behaves. So the child asked what country he had visited, and he couldn't remember. He actually couldn't remember. And then the child, actually a different child, jumped in and said, Ireland. And Joe Biden said, oh, yeah, Ireland, yeah, where my ancestors came from, and they went to Scranton, and that was the Blewett family, the Blewett family. No Bidens came from Ireland. The Blewetts came, but the Joe Blewett probably wouldn't have won the presidential election. So the child asked what country he had visited recently, and he didn't know. He didn't know. No cognitive test needed, though, although you see the former White House doctor has called for the president to take a cognitive test because he believes that he's seen evidence on television and elsewhere that Joe Biden's cognitive abilities are limited, impeded, impaired. They're not going to do it because the news media, they voted for Joe Biden, so they are there to fluff him, to give him a good rub down. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, he couldn't recall Ireland, so a six-year-old, maybe a four-year-old, said Ireland. And he's like, oh, yeah, Ireland. And then he was asked about his grandchildren, and once again he got the number of grandchildren that he has wrong. And this is fine. This is not in the news today. This is all okay because he's a Democrat. And Kamala Harris was meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State and the South Korean president visiting the United States. And she went off on a giggling, you know, dummy jag about the Squid Games, which is a South Korean television show, and about kid pop bands, boy pop bands out of South Korea, while giggling. And she embarrassed us as well. I'm happy to report, though, that people are noticing Joe Biden has, it's a near all-time, perhaps at all-time low approval rating. On the Gallup poll, is not even a CNN or an NBC poll, because they have got different methodology. But the Gallup polling people found that Joe Biden, his approval rating, she's a no good. It's a no good at all. I gotta tell you. And the Washington Post, they're very upset. They've got the headline, Biden isn't doing enough in the fight against Republican extremism. Republican extremism. How many transgender massacres have there been lately, Jeff? Because I got to tell you, they keep looking at this MAGA extremism. There have been more transgender people committing mass murders, suicide attacks lately. And I keep looking for that MAGA hat wearing, right-wing extremists to do something. Speaking of which, there were left-wing lunatics, I told you yesterday, sitting down in traffic in Washington, D.C., just outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia, across the mighty Potomac River, and the George Washington Memorial Parkway. They sat down to impede rush hour and created a traffic jam miles and miles long because, you know, the weather. They're very upset about the weather. Really mental about the weather, thoroughly mental about the weather. And so they created this traffic jam blocking traffic because they love laying in traffic, which I think, honestly, if you're laying in traffic for political reasons, it should be legal to run you over. It shouldn't it? We should pass a law. Maybe Congress should pass a law about that. And then leftists showed up at the National Gallery of Art where they vandalized an Edvard Degas sculpture of, a little ballerina. And liberals, a man and a woman, and when they speak, you can see that they're very limited mentally. I'd say they're in their 50s. Maybe he's in his 50s, she's in her 40s. I wouldn't want to insult her age. They very severely brain-damaged people. They slopped paint all over the... See, there's a plexiglass box over the Degas sculpture, and it's on a pedestal. So they slapped... one had black paint, and the other had red paint. Because, climate means blood and all that stuff. And, oh, by the way, that transgender person in Montana, of all places, is, you have blood on your hands, and this is not hyperbole. As I don't think he knows what the word hyperbole means, but never mind that. Oh, yeah, and speaking of him and all that, we got Dylan Mulvaney says, apparently you should go to jail. If you go to jail, if you're critical of him, and if you call him, it should be illegal, which means the police should come and put handcuffs on you, arrest you, take you away, and put you in jail because you offended the sensitivities and the sensibilities of Dylan Mulvaney. And, by the way, he Maybelline, you know, the makeup people, also hired him. And now they are being boycotted, and their sales are hurting, just like Bud Light. But they'll never learn because it's really about the social project and the and the politics, not about capitalism. Capitalism is evil, man. Yeah, so the environmentalists at the National Gallery of Art slathered paint using their hands because they're uncivilized people all over this Degas. Thousands in damage on the wooden floors, too. The wooden floors are beautiful, wooden plank floors, and not brand new. They're vintage. And they were taken away in handcuffs. And executed. They were, interestingly enough, they were executed shortly thereafter on the Mall in Washington, D.C. We have a guillotine. Remember when the Democrats brought a guillotine in during Trump and they were guillotining things in front of the White House? And the news media thought that was neat. Just don't bring a noose to January 6th because that's really bad. But a guillotine to the White House, that's kosher. They brought the guillotine to Jeff Bezos' mansion in Washington, D.C. too. He bought an old museum and converted it to his house. And that's, because Democrats, and he did that because he knew Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency and he wanted to be close to her. So the environmental fanatics are, up to their usual hijinks. And at the National Gallery of Art, they've been gluing themselves to a lot of things, including some Hollywood dim-witted actors gluing their hands to countertops at Starbucks or something because they want a free coffee and they want it now, something like that. And they've been gluing themselves to paintings and artworks in Europe and, the great museums of Europe. And they're mental. They're mental, right? And yesterday, vandalizing the... Now, fortunately, it was already in a plexiglass case because they know that there are a lot of liberals out there who will vandalize priceless works of art because the weather... It's raining today. They must be very upset because the climate changed yesterday. It was nicer. Today it's less nice. That means climate change. The climate changed. That's the thing about them. Pretty amazing, amazing stuff. So we got that going for us. And lots of transgender stories because Zooey Zephyr, not his real name, is an elected official in Montana, a Democrat, obviously, and is now sitting in the hallway because he's been banned. He's been so disruptive and violating the rules in the Montana State House that they said, well, you can still be a state representative, but you have to do it from home. And you can vote from home for the rest of the session because you're so disruptive. So Zooey Zephyr, not his real name, is now sitting out in the hallway, I assume close to the ladies' room, just in case. I'll be to that. And also in Kansas, the... They've got a Democrat governor there, and she's a nut. The Republicans passed a bill defining a woman as a human female. And, you know, a girl as a human female and a woman as a human female and a man as a, defining the words in law. And the Democrat governor vetoed the bill. Vetoed the bill. Vito Corleone the bill. That's, because they don't believe that a woman is a female human, that a girl is a female human, that a woman is an adult female human. So, she, Democrat governor, this is why you shouldn't have Democrats as governors, just one of many reasons, said, oh, no, you can't say what everybody's known for thousands of years, but the Democrat Party is erasing women now. It's, you know that Pound Me Too thing? That there's that woman accusing President Trump of sexually assaulting her a lifetime ago, and like a Bergdorf Goodman changing room or something like that. And according to the Washington Post, she couldn't resist. Carol cites Pound Me Too as inspiration to go public. I think we should start a Pound Erase Me Too, you know, Erase Me Too movement, because the Democrats, you know, in the sporting events and the, you saw the man winning the, well, he didn't win the marathon in London, but ran as a woman and beat out 1,400 women. And he had just run as a man in the New York City Marathon, then flew to London and said, now I'm a woman, and I'm running as a woman in the marathon here. Pretty amazing stuff. So we got some of that. Also, you know, the listen, murder rates are up across the country. Murder rates up 10% in the biggest U.S. cities, and our police chief is being praised in the Washington Post today. Up 30% in Philadelphia, but comfort yourself with the knowledge that reading scores are down 30%. Well, ACT, it's ACT, is that what they call the test, the standardized test, down 30%, right? But murder rates in Philadelphia are up 30%. And the reason in both cases is Democrats. So we got that. Also saying that in Minnesota, these crazy leftists in Minnesota want to put you on a government registry if you say that the Wuhan Red Death came from Wuhan, or if you defend author J.K. Rowling, who says that men are men and women are women. They're going to put you on a government registry. It's like a hate crime registry, a bias registry they're going to put you on. And also, we got, you know, climate lunatics. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is in Washington, D.C. tomorrow night. I will be attending. I'm actually going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner tomorrow night. And climate lunatics are planning on blockading it, shutting it down because of the mental illness. It's a terrible thing. And in California, doomsday, it's right here on the front page. I have it right here on the front page of the Washington Post. Doomsday is around the corner. We are at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I studied Spanish in college and never got fluent, but then I tried Babbel.
Want the most effective way to learn another language? In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel's bite-sized lessons will have you learning another language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel is all conversation-based, so it gets you speaking quickly about things you actually talk about in the real world.
You'll really see a difference in how you can speak and how conversational you can be in just a few weeks.
Babbel isn't just lessons. You can listen to podcasts, play games, watch videos. You can even take live online classes with a language teacher. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel.
The lessons online and in the app make it easy to learn from pretty much anywhere.
University studies have shown that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a semester of college Spanish. If you want to learn a new language, there's no better way than Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for a breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combo orders.
Ad paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention veterans, active duty military, civilians, and contractors. If you were issued earplugs between 1999 and 2015 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-783-2402 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-783-2402 now. Again, 800-783-2402. That's 800-783-2402.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
All right, the Doomsday Cult comes to the front page of the Washington Post today. I'll get to that. And I'm going to recommend harassing. I've got a plan for harassing Democrats when you see them out in public, wherever you may find them. That's part of a plan I've got. I want to share that with you. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Russ calling from Winchester, Virginia. Russell, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Been thinking about all these people protesting that started in Europe with people going to these high-end businesses and throwing paint and then gluing themselves to cars. Well, you know, they don't want to spank their kids, so maybe they should be put into a timeout. And when they crazy glue themselves to something, let them stay there. Give them a couple of days to sit in their own soil. You know, if they're wet paint as well, let them get stuck in the wet paint. Don't call the police for a couple of days, and then see if it shows a lesson to others not to do this type of behavior.
I'm in favor of this. I believe that I've recommended the same thing in the past, that when there was one woman, Russ, I don't know if you remember this, who glued her breasts, I kid you not, to the street. She peeled off her top and glued her own breast disease to the street in front of a big financial house. It was Goldman Sachs or something in London, and glued her breasts to the street. And I thought, well, what do you do? I mean, you could get a spatula, you know, get a nice metal spatula from the grill and come over and say, you know, how are we going to get these out? But really, I think the best solution is just leave her there. And whatever they're glued to, whether it's inside of a Starbucks or wherever it is, just leave them glued to the thing until they molt their skin, until their skin sheds off and they can walk away on their own. I think that would be the best thing for them. Russ, you know, good ideas. Sometimes it takes time before good ideas catch on, but I think that's an idea that should catch on.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
North Street Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
Looking for a restaurant that offers quality and value? Look no further than Dry Creek Station on Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. Family-owned and operated, Dry Creek Station has been serving up delicious steaks, seafood, chicken, soups, and salads since 1992. Don't miss their house-made clam chowder and live music Friday and Saturday night. And be sure to ask about their fantastic weekend specials. And the menu doesn't stop there. Come check out Dry Creek Station's new lunch menu, including their fabulous burger menu. Also grilled chicken breast, beef ribs, fish and chips, a salmon fillet, and their popular lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawn. They also offer kids' meals. Join us at the Dry Creek Station for lunch from noon to 4 or dinner from 5 to 9. Open Tuesday through Sunday with happy hour from 3 to 5. Come on down to the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East of Bella Vista, where quality and value meet.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak
salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey-gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey-gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited-time ooey-gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner.
Okay. Now, the Washington Post is a newspaper of some repute. They have awards and things like that. And today, mine arrived at my front door, and I was marveling once again, doing spit takes, guffawing with my best girl on the couch at the absurdity of the newspaper, such as it is. The front page, above the fold, there is a picture of what appears to be a young girl standing out in a desert-like area looking at a river or a big creek going by. Stand there looking at it. And the headline is, in California, comma, rising fears of a doomsday deluge. There's that doomsday again. They love doomsday, don't they? They're a doomsday death cult, the whole thing. And it's about the weather because it snowed a lot in the mountains. In California, I tell you, my brother was snowboarding a lot over the last few months because he switched from skis to snowboards. So naturally, he was snowboarding. And lives in San Diego, my brother. And he goes up in the mountains and he snowboards because he's Tarzan. He's very, very athletic. And it says, after a long drought, first they complained about the drought, and then it snowed a lot. So now they've got a lot of water, and now they're complaining about that. Because it doesn't matter what happens in the weather. They're against it, you know. No matter what it is or who commenced it, they're against it. After a long drought, record snow melt may be poised to flood ill-prepared farm towns. The farm towns are ill-prepared, and because there was a lot of snow, they're going to call it. And everything's a record. You know, it says, oh, and in 4,000 years. Yeah, we've been there for about 120 years. You don't know what happened 4,000 years ago. But never mind that. So it's record snow melt. Everything's a record. Maybe poised. It's poised like the little girl on the front page. To flood ill-prepared farm towns. Maybe the farm towns should prepare because they have mountains over there and it snows and it rains too. And you guys have mudslides all the time and things like that. You're California. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's the land of disasters. So rising fears. I loved all the charged language. And my best girl and I, we were laughing. And just above that, it says, democracy dies in darkness. Nattering nabobs of negativism, right? You got dies and darkness. Then you've got fears and doomsday and deluge. And you haven't even gotten to the first word of the story yet. by Brianna Sachs. Brianna Sachs typed up the story on behalf of the doomsday death cult that is the Democrat Party. Isn't that amazing? So everything is bad. Drought is bad. Snowfall is bad. Snow melt is bad. Water is bad. Lack of water is bad. And they're hysterical about all of it, like little schoolgirls. Can't call them little schoolgirls. I got to call them little, what do they call them now? Egg-producing people. That was yesterday's Democrat story. Can't call them girls or boys. Sperm-producing people and egg-producing people. This is your Democrat Party. Aren't they amazing? The lead story in today's Washington Post, upper right-hand corner of the A-sectional. A lot of them are A-sectional. Some of them are metro-sectional. Growth in GDP, the gross domestic product, slows sharply. It slows sharply. Tepid figure fuels gloomy outlook. Boy, I got to tell you, this is really negative. Is there anything good going on? Not as far as they can tell. No, they're not aware of anything. Expansion rate of 1.1% reveals, quote, growing cracks. There are growing cracks, and we're all going to fall into them. It's, what's that mountain climbing movie with Sylvester Stallone, you know, where there are growing cracks, fissures, and we're going to fall into them and be crushed because, you know, it slows sharply. And an expansion rate in the economy, GDP of 1.1%. But they, you know, but it's not Biden's fault. See, because Biden is good, so anything bad that happens is not Biden's fault. I'm looking for Biden's name in the story, and you don't find it. Now, if this were happening under Trump, the slow growth rate, or any Republican, it would be Republicans destroying economy as GDP contracts, right? That'd be the thing. But they don't do that when you're a Democrat, because they voted for you, and they're Democrats too. So it's much better to be a Democrat, at least in terms of media coverage, you know. Now that goes. So, and also above the fold on the front page of the A-sectional, fissures. This is where I got the word fissures from. It's in the next headline. Fissures emerge on abortion in red states. Thwarted South Carolina, Nebraska bills show infighting on how far limits should go. You mean that the issue is being debated on a state level, which is the whole point of repealing, you know, anybody? Can I just, that's the thing. So there was a bill in South Carolina that failed, and one of the leading opponents is a Republican woman in the South Carolina State House who very, very eloquently made her case. And that is, of course, what everybody knew would happen when Roe v. Wade, which was based on very shaky law from the get-go, when Roe v. Wade was repealed, it would revert to the states, and the states would, cliffhanger, that was it, cliffhanger. And the fissures, slipping into the fissures. So that's, that. It, you know, what was predicted to happen has happened, and it has reverted to the states where the abortion laws are being hashed out, and it's being debated again, which is what Americans who are pro-life wanted, you see. But you Democrats, you never understood anything, nor I think will you ever understand anything. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, did you see the Tucker Carlson? Because this is pretty wild. He posted a video day before yesterday, has now more than 60 million views, right? Which is pretty good, I guess. That's pretty good. In 24 hours, Newsmax has the story for us. Newsmax surging in the ratings as well. Newsmax with the story, Carlson video exceeds 60 million views in less than 24 hours. And Michael Katz wrote the story up Newsmax and Newsmax TV. Tucker Carlson's two-minute video posted on Twitter containing his first comments since he was fired by Fox News on Monday has gained more than 60 million views as of Thursday afternoon. I'm sure the number is much greater by now. Carlson's video, posted at 8:01 p.m. on Wednesday, had racked up 60.5 million views by 3:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Thursday. Did not address the abrupt departure of the Fox host from the highest-rated cable news show, or what he plans to do next. Fox has yet to comment on what led to Carlson's firing. Now, the moment this happened, immediately after this happened, so what is Tucker Carlson going to do? Oh, no, he lost his you know, very lucrative job at Fox News. And my take on it was, well, he's got a relationship as one of the founding fathers of the Daily Caller, although he did divest from there apparently a couple of years ago. He's got a relationship with them still. He could go to the Daily Caller and do a Joe Rogan-style streaming video show. And again, he got 60 million viewers in 24 hours. His show, typically on 8 o'clock Eastern time on the Fox News Channel, would get 3 or 4 million viewers, I think. And now 60 million viewers. And that, because controversy sells, as they say in Washington, which is a show business town. And, you know, we should have Washington. It's a show business town, T-shirts or coffee mugs or something. Because it's all a terrible television show, isn't it? But Tucker Carlson can, obviously, and I said from the very beginning, before anyone else said anything, just kidding, said, because it's impossible to be the first to say anything anywhere. But I said before a lot of people, listen, he's just, he can do what he wants. He can write his own ticket. It's not like, you know, they're going to switch the lights off at the end of the month on him. He's fine. And he can have a streaming show on a variety of different platforms, including perhaps the Daily Caller, and have an audience bigger than the audience he had at Fox News. And Fox News is engaged in a form of autoerotic asphyxiation right now in the closet. It's, you know, talk about bad idea genes, man, oh, man. But this proves it, 60.5, and I'll go check during the course of the show and see what the latest number is on the streams. But as of yesterday afternoon, more than 60 million views. That's rather gigantic. I think he'll be okay. What do you think? I think he'll be okay. Jeff thinks he'll be okay, too, which is good. Comforting. Jeff knows. He's got some, like the White House press office, he's got some psychic capabilities, too. Yes, sir. Also on the front page of the Washington Post today, they have an obituary. They don't often have an obituary on the front page of the Washington Post or other papers unless it's a really giant, you know, legendary figure. Here it is, Carolyn Bryant. Carolyn Bryant, 1934 to 2023, as you might imagine, since it's an obituary. Now, who is Carolyn Bryant, you might ask? Why is she on the front page, her obituary of the Washington Post? Her accusation led to the murder of Emmett Till, a teenager who was murdered in 1955. Now, I think in Washington, D.C., there have been, how many, like 100 and some odd murders so far this year just in our small city. And the police chief is being praised as he's leaving the job to go take a job at the FBI. He's, oh, what a hero. He's the murder rates are up 20% over last year. And there are children being shot and killed all over the place. And so naturally he's being promoted to a job at the FBI because they like the cut of his jib. They said, FBI said, wait a minute. Look at the skyrocketing crime rate in Washington. Murder rates are galloping up. The carjacking rates are everywhere. Oh, there was a carjacking yesterday about a mile from the radio station. I was telling you about how these stores in the, you know, the nice part of Washington, D.C., Chevy Chase Circle, Upper Connecticut Avenue, how the stores there have been looted. Magruder's, the family-owned grocery store. It's a great grocery store, Upper Connecticut Avenue. And, you know, they're the Democrats are going in and just filling up their bags and leaving with stuff. The CVS, you know, the pharmacy. And what else? The Safeway. They've all been plundered by Democrats of late. And right in the same neighborhood, the same stretch, there was a carjacking, two guys, Democrats, police are looking for two Democrats, held up a man, turned out to be an Uber driver, sitting in his car, and they drove up in a car, two guys jump up, guns, carjack the Uber driver, steal his car, one guy jumps back in their own car that they drove there in, and the other guy steals the Uber driver's car. And they drove away, but then they dumped the car a couple of miles away. So it was really just for fun. It was just for practice. You know, armed robbery, carjackings, just for fun. And carjackings are hugely, just developing hugely, enormously in Washington, D.C. And the police chief, Chief Conte, He's on the, there's a heroic portrait of him on the front page of the Metro sectional because he's leaving. He grew up in Washington, D.C. He's a police officer for a long time, D.C. police. Then he became the PIFA Chalice, as they call him here, the PIFA Chalice. And now he's leaving to go to the FBI. Homicides, we're now number four in the country with homicides. We're number four, Washington, D.C., but, you know, with a bullet and climbing. Carjackings are skyrocketing. So naturally, the FBI took a look at him and said, hey, let's make him deputy director of the FBI. He wrecks everything. And that's the business that the FBI is in. So they got the Washington Post just loves Chief Conte. And I know a lot of police officers, and I know police officers that like Chief Conte. And there are things about him that I have liked, too. But he's leaving now rather than fixing the problems here. And really the problem is the mayor and the city council that are pro-crime and pro-criminal more than the police chief. But the police chief who grew up in Washington, D.C., career Washington, D.C. police officer, became the chief. And now he's on his way to the FBI just, blocks away from the D.C. police headquarters. And FBI deputy director of the FBI, I assume he'll be in charge of getting homicides and carjacking rates up across the country, because now he's going to be a Fed. And that's the job that they have at the FBI. Amazing stuff. But back to the obituary for Carolyn Bryant, 1934 to 2023. Her accusation led to murder of Emmett Till, and the subheadline says, wife of one of the boy's killers was central to episode that helped spur the civil rights movement. He was murdered by Democrats. Look it up. Carolyn Bryant was 21 years old in 1955, a former beauty queen, listen to this, with ivory skin, high cheekbones. I wonder if she's related to Elizabeth Warren. Might be, because, all of the Cherokee people have high cheekbones, and Elizabeth Warren's, like her papaw. Her papaw had high cheekbones, like all the Cherokee people. And so did Carolyn Bryant have high cheekbones, like all the Cherokee people, and ivory skin. That means she's white, real white. And she lived a quiet life, raising her two sons, working at her husband's Mississippi grocery until a 14-year-old African-American, Emmett Till, stopped by the store for bubblegum one August evening, said to have wolf whistled at her on the way out. Well, ivory skin, alabaster skin and high cheekbones. Emmett Till was abducted, tortured, and shot. It was a terrible murder. It was a horrible, terrible murder. And they ignored almost 10,000 African Americans being murdered in the United States last year. And we're on our way to, if not a record homicide year in Washington, D.C. Well, we're competing. But that's not on the front page. We've had little girls and little boys shot. We've had little teenage girls as carjackers, too. Never on the front page. But racial division from 1955, that ought to do it. That's on the front page, to be sure. Also, the Democrats vandalizing the Degas in a climate protest at the National Gallery of Art. That's coming up. And transgender Democrats. What's the matter with kids these days?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Have you heard about the Fed's sinister plan to control your money? It's called Executive Order 14067, signed by Biden. He and his cronies will implement a digital dollar. It's the largest attack on your privacy and freedom in decades. Better act now. Protect your retirement savings with physical gold. This timeless asset will protect your privacy and ensure the government can't track your wealth. With this simple IRS loophole, you can convert your retirement savings to gold and silver, protecting your wealth tax-free. I trust American Alternative Assets, and so should you. They're A-plus accredited members of the Better Business Bureau. So call 877-3-USA-GOLD now to reserve a free wealth protection guide. Better act now. Protect your retirement savings by calling American Alternative Assets at 877-3-USA-GOLD. That's 877-387-2465. Call today. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee past performance will be indicative of future results.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes. I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No. It's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PUSH for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code PUSH. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PUSH for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PUSH.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Ein.
I'll have a John Hinckley update for you today as well. It will excite Democrats, to be sure. Right now, let's go to the telephones, Jeff. Let's go to Matt calling from Frederick, Maryland. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
How are you, sir?
I'm great, Matt. What do you know?
I just heard you talking about the the guys in D.C. robbing the or carjacking the Uber Eats guy.
Right.
Yes. And my brother-in-law works for the Baltimore City Police, and he says that is the new trend, that they're actually robbing them, and whatever Cash App, wherever they use, and that's how they – that's the new thing.
Robbing the Uber Eats guys. So they're willing to commit –
They carjacking and robbing them all at the same time, and that they get the guy in the car and – drive them to a different location, kick them out, and then drive the car somewhere else and rob them at the same time.
So you've got armed robbery, carjacking, felony kidnapping.
It's a lot of stuff.
Felony kidnapping so that you can steal an egg.
It's a lot of work. They should just get a regular job and, yeah.
Risking like 30 years in prison to get
for
the
little bit of dough.
General Chow's chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here you got an egg sandwich out of the deal, and you're risking 30 to 40 years in prison. Well, you know, that's like the Baltimore school system. That's what they're teaching in the Baltimore school system, I think.
It's rough. I tell you what, my sister works for Johns Hopkins, and my brother-in-law is a police officer there, and it's a different kind of place.
Yeah, Baltimore City is a tough place. You know what Spike Lee calls it, right? Spike Lee calls Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
What does he call it?
Yeah.
What does he call it?
Bodymore Murderland, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Bodymore Murderland is what he calls it. And these Democrat-run cities, people keep voting for Democrats. A vote for Democrats is a vote for murder. A vote for Democrats is a vote for carjacking. It's a vote for failed schools and a school-to-prison pipeline. So, you know, vote down.
Axiom Repertory Theater is proud to present Woody Guthrie's American Song.
This land is your land, and this land is my land.
Experience the words and music.